Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Your mama got your back. Your mama wiped your ass, wiped your nose, wiped your whole damn face, all with the same rag. I learned my lesson on that. Get out of that rag. Hell out. And my mom was old school. When I was growing up, there wasn't no need for no Amber Alert. Hell no. Nah. I wasn't getting abducted back then. Hell no. Nah. When my mom putting that Vaseline on my face so I could look shiny and new at that bus stop, she gave me some real good advice. When your ass get off that bus at 4:30, I want you in that house. And I mean in that house. I don't want you letting nobody in the house that I get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. You got it?
I got it. I got it. I get off that bus at 4:30.
I get in that house, lock that door like Fort Knox. Go get me some chocolate milk and watch my favorite cartoon, Thundercats. Hell yeah! Thunder! Thunder! Thundercats! Go! I be drinking my chocolate milk. This is the greatest episode I've ever seen in my life. That doorbell ring, though. Bing, bong. I'm like, who could that be? I go, who is it? Baby, it's your grandmama. Open the door, let your grandmama in the house. Sorry, grandma. My mama said not to let nobody in the house. And she meant nobody in the house that she get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. Oh, baby, now grandmama done came all the way over here to see you. You know you can let your grandmama in the house. I love you too, grandma. Now, baby, I done got two buses to come over here. Hello, grandma. I love you too. But my mama said not to let nobody in the house. And she meant nobody in the house that she get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. Now you're welcome to catch both them buses back to your house. Are you welcome to sit on the porch and wait till she get off work at 9 o'clock tonight? But could you please excuse me? I got to get back to my Thundercats and my chocolate milk. And I go back and sit down. Go, Panther, go! Next thing you know, the doorbell rang again. Bing, bong. What does she want? Nah! Who is it? Boy, it's your daddy. Open this damn door. You got your grandmama out here sitting on the porch. You open this door and let both of us in right now. Sorry, daddy. Mama said not to let nobody in his house. She meant nobody in his house since she get out of work at 9 o'clock tonight. Boy, you know I live there. Apparently not.
Oh, greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Kind of like that clip. That was kind of funny. I thought it was. But I think tonight should be a time where I think I'm going to get really tickled. Because we're going to, I think it's hilarious. You know, my topic tonight basically is, you know, we wearing sisters wrong. You know, and I'm pretty much, I'm going to let the sister Renee go ahead and speak. Because I don't want to go ahead and throw too much stuff out there. It's better if a woman criticizes another woman. It just seems a little bit. I hear you, so.
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
What's up? I mean, is that right? I mean, I shouldn't be the one going ahead and saying, hey, look, you know, what the hell is that on your head? I shouldn't be the one. I mean, you should be the one.
Yeah, you should. Well, I hear you, but... Nah, these women, you know, some of these women, they need to know from men.
Oh.
You know, like, baby, that ain't looking good. That's not working for you.
How many jokes can I go ahead and put out when I go ahead and see? Okay, this is the one I should get me up. You know, if it looks like a hairy football helmet, I should glue hair onto a football helmet and walk around. Shouldn't I?
No, I mean, oh, gosh.
Picture it.
You're trying to really hurt, huh?
Picture it.
Okay.
And go to the club. Stand around.
Right.
With my mustache and everything. My favorite football helmet on. All the way down to my butt.
Wow.
What do you think?
I mean, hey, go for it. That's all I'm going to say. Go for it.
Oh, man. It's wild, though. You know, what is it that got you? What is it that got you? Let's start with, you know, are they wrong? Do you think they wrong?
For wearing
weeds? Yeah.
No. There was a time when I was unsure about something. Like, you know, I put it like this. There's multiple reasons because every woman is different. So you can't ever really say that, you know, this woman wears weave for this certain reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're all different. Women are all different. So to say,
put it out there first. Here's the part that's first. You know, like my mom went through chemotherapy and stuff before she passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those times were like, hey, look, you know, my mom had long hair. And I come over there and she had like a bag, right, plastic bag. She said, here, you can do something with that. Go ahead, burn it. I'm like, what is it? And my before I can go ahead and look into it, my sister said, that's mama's hair. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a big old shopping bag full of it, you know. So. You know, you know, some women go ahead and lose their hair through some stuff like that. You know, hey, I can understand that. But just gluing on shit and sewing in shit here around there, you know, then it's killing what you have already.
But see, okay. Black women, especially. Women in general, but I'm a black woman, so. And this
no.
is what we're talking about. But we like variety. When it comes to hair, we like different styles. Black women typically don't like to wear the same hairstyle over and over and over all the daggone time. We like to switch it up. We like to do different things. So, you know, because of that, like, some women do that, and they work with weave to have a different look sometimes. Like, you might get you some have braids. You might then have a kind of a bob or, you know, a longer style. You might do a shorter. Some girls, a lot of women are doing the short, really short wigs. And, you know, they're tapering it to look like it's their hair. I mean, it's a lot of variety in it, too. It's not just about
hair. I think that's money wasted. I mean, if you're going to do the short wig, you may as well just cut your hair short. I mean, what kind of crazy retarded shit is that?
But see, that's what I'm saying. You as a man, see, you can't grasp that. That's what I'm saying is variety. If you cut your hair off, right, you cut your hair off, now your hair is short. It's short. That means it's going to be short every day until maybe you grow it out or whatever. And women, we don't want to have short hair every day. We don't want that every day. You know, we might want that style for a little bit, but then we want to have, you know, something else. So that's when you get into the weave.
I think I might be at a, you know, okay, a different look. I ain't too against that. I can go with that a little bit, you know. Hey, but outrageous shit, you know, the rainbow colors shit, and then the other wild shit. I can't get down with some of that, you know. I'm caramel complected, and you just, you know, darker than me. You ain't got no damn business putting on no blonde shit. I mean, or some green. One lady walk around the office, man. She, oh, man, her shit is just fluorescent pink, and I swear it glows when you turn the lights off, man. So, She one day she came in, her hair was pink. Mm. She had this crazy little pink stuff around her eyes. I don't understand how they let her stay around that. She had pink nails. She had on this pink outfit, some pink shoes, and some other little pink shit, and a pink purse. And I was like, what the? I don't see this shit. So I didn't really say too much, man. I just let the shit go.
Well, I mean, okay. I'm going to deal with you on that, though, because I agree, like, there's love, you know, there's boundaries to everything. So some of these women with these colors of hair, now I can't with that, with all of these different colors of hair, like pink and blue and red and green and all that kind of stuff. To me, that's just you into doing something else. You know, have some type of a tact with your hair. Like, have some type of something. I mean, we know that, like, somebody knows when they look at your hair that is green. Like, that's weave. Like, people know that's not your hair. You know, and I thought initially a lot of women wore weave because they wanted it to look more realistic. They wanted it to look like their hair, or it could be their hair. But now you have the women doing all these crazy colors and these, man, some crazy stuff. I can't deal with that.
So you don't want to go ahead and go with that, you know, fluorescent green and...
No, I'm good. No, I'm good. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of jobs now, they will have in their employee, you know, whatever, manual packet, and it's saying natural hair colors only. So if you cannot, like, nobody that we really know is born with green and blue hair and all this stuff. So natural hair colors only.
Okay, these are mostly like synthetics, or do they get like real hair and they dye it and put it in? How is that? Okay, so which one is it? I mean, they dye the hair and put it in there, or?
Yeah, I mean, can buy the hair. You can do it either way. I mean, most people buy the hair already dyed. I mean, you go to a hair store, oh, my gosh, you will see every color of hair possible that you can imagine. So the hair is already dyed, but some women do get hair and dye it themselves because they maybe wanted some other kind of different color or a highlight or whatever. The reason is, but some women do dye it themselves. The most buy the color already.
So, what are the chemicals used to go ahead and make the hair? Because you got that synthetic stuff, and then you got the natural. You know, you got this. I hate saying natural, cutting off some woman's head who's got lice and shit. But what is it they use to go ahead and make that synthetic stuff?
I don't know. I think it's probably some type of plastic, really, because yes. And I say that because when you, like, they tell you do not
stand out in the sun too long, or your shit'll catch on fire. You don't have a disclaimer on the pack saying that.
I don't know. It might be on there. But they tell you don't apply heat, you know, don't apply direct heat.
Wasn't
and,
that what I just said?
That's not direct heat. I'm talking about a curling iron.
Okay, so walking past the stove, this shit blow up.
Don't use a curling iron or a flat iron, okay? And when you do, like if you do try to use that on a hair, it melts like plastic. It melts just like a piece of plastic melts when it gets too hot. So that's why I say it's some, I think it's some type of, you know, plastic something or other that they make that's similar to hair, but you can always tell the synthetic hair. I mean, they've gotten better with it now, and they have this stuff called a master mix. And mm-hmm. the master mix is synthetic hair with some human hair mixed in with it. So it's like, yeah, it's like a combination. It's like a blend of the hair. And so that is supposed to give you the more natural look, but it's going to be cheaper than, you know, the you know, human hair. But you still can't really, and then so now some of them will say, like, you can curl it. You can use a curling iron and stuff, but it has to be on a very low, like a really low setting. But, the, yeah. Yeah, so they have all kind of crazy stuff.
Did you see? I sent you a picture with the one with the weave, and she had all kinds of different colors, but she had little boxes and stuff like it was gifts and stuff, and some kind of Christmas shit.
With the Christmas weave, old Christmas weave.
Old Christmas weave, old Christmas weave.
Yeah. I mean, that type of thing. I understand there's people, I guess, having fun with it. I don't know what that. I don't know who does that. And where do you, like, what do you do for a living? Like, I mean, do you have your own business that you own? What are you doing that you can run around with a weave? Like, I've seen everything from Oreo, the Oreo logo.
Oreo?
The blue weave. Yes, I will have to send you that picture. To Skittles, to like the Christmas weed, to like some rainbow concoction. Like, where do you work? Like, where do you work at? How do you provide for yourself that you are able to have this type of hairstyle?
Maybe she works next alongside of a stylist, and so they're promoting their products. I mean, it is a walking advertisement in a sense, though.
I guess it's an advertisement of sorts. I mean, what are you advertising to? But some girls like that, you know. Some women like that. But to me, that's the thing. When I said girls, that's important, too. I feel like if you're a grown woman, you know, I don't like anyone wearing it. But, I mean, it just looks crazy to me. I just wouldn't. But, you know, everybody do your thing. But, come on now. If you're a grown woman, why are you running around with a daggone, like, rainbow hair and stuff? Like, why are you doing that as a grown woman?
Mm-hmm. So where's the self-hate come from? Do you think there's self-hatred with that? Do you want to go ahead and dress up like that?
Now, some sisters might get mad at me, but I think sometimes, yes, I think there's an element of self-hate that can come along with weave.
Don't you think that's strong? You don't think that's a strong way to feel about it?
No, I don't. I think it's a realistic way, you know, and I don't know. I consider myself a realist, I guess. And I think it's realistic because as women, as black women, we are told as little girls that nappy hair is not pretty. This, and I'm talking about from my generation, and I know, like, my sisters older than me, their generation, and even some of my friends and family younger than me. So as black young girls, we are taught that nappy hair is ugly. You don't want nappy hair. You don't want kinky hair. You know, you have straight hair. You have curls in your hair. That's pretty. You know, and that's what little girls want. They want to look pretty. And so a lot of times when you see little black girls and they get their hair pressed out, and they have the little curls, put the little curls in there and their ponytails and stuff. And people will tell them, you look so pretty. You look so pretty. And especially after they get a, or they get a relaxer in their hair.
Wait. Which one were the pretty ones? Who's the prettiest one? Because they got their hair pressed or they wearing that afro?
Yeah. When they get their hair pressed.
Mm.
When they got their hair pressed and they got the little curl, put the little curls in their hair.
You know, people don't understand what they do, you know, to fuck up a kid's self-esteem when they go ahead and do that kind of shit. You know, they don't realize what they're doing. You know, and that needs to be pointed out. Hey, don't go ahead and pick this kid over that kid. You know, all these kids are beautiful. So don't go ahead and put that kid, because he got some features, make him look. Don't do that. I hate when I hear that. I stop people when they go ahead and say that. Oh, you got good hair. There ain't no such fucking thing you got. I don't like that shit.
Okay, but let me say too with High Deep H2O, but he's saying some things in the chat, and he's saying that I am describing what women say to women. Yes and no. Now look, when a little girl goes and she gets her hair pressed out, or she gets a relaxer, and so then you see her hair and it may look longer. Now, she might have a little Shirley Temple, little spiral curls in there. And people, but men and women say it. Men and women say it. You look so pretty. Oh, look at your hair. You look so pretty. Maybe men, I mean, it's coming from a different aspect. But men will say, and trust me, I was a little girl once, and men will say that. And there's plenty of them. As a little girl, when I had my little curls and stuff like that. Oh, look at your hair. You look so pretty. I like your hair. And when you're saying that to little girls, it makes us feel good. And it's like, oh, great. But you also begin to draw that distinction between, okay, well, when my hair was like this, a lot of people weren't telling me that my hair, you know, was coarse, I'll say that. A lot of people weren't telling me that my hair was pretty, that I look so pretty. But now, since I got my hair straightened out and I have my relaxer or it's pressed, everybody's telling me how pretty I am.
Oh, yes.
You know?
You get closer to looking like you got white girl hair. Hey, Alex, somebody else got their hand up. Let me, 1111, your line is open. State your name, where you calling from. Welcome to the show.
I'm Brown Beasley, and I'm calling
Mr.
from Southern California, Los Angeles.
I know who you are.
I'm listening to what the lady's saying, and I'm trying to figure out, is it long-term conditioning? Because that's really what it is.
What do you mean?
Long-term conditioning that tells us that nappy hair is bad and ugly, and I know all those terms.
Right.
You know, just from having, I didn't have sisters, but I had girl cousins. And I know the way my grandmother would talk to them. I know the way that they would act when the babies were born.
Right.
Is her hair open? Ooh, that child right there has got a Oh, she got a head full of cucklebugs. Oh, come on over here. We have to do something with your hair. Oh, that's it. Oh, Yvonne, yeah. Oh, she's got pretty easy hair. That's beautiful hair. That conditioning goes way back.
Yeah, and don't you think that's a negative thing? That introduces self-hate, don't you think?
I'm sitting here pondering it. I know that it's long-term. I know that it's long-term conditioning, and as open-minded as I want to be and understanding that, what do I think is prettier? You know, a black woman with beautiful permed or pressed hair, or somebody with, you know, with a natural hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the long pressed permed hair you know, I don't care for weaves at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for weaves at all, but I know why women get them because I've spoken to them.
Well, you know what? Just like let's just like.
But
said,
in my opinion,
know,
in my opinion, in my taste, and I'm sitting here pondering it, and I was been thinking the long, pretty pressed hair, permed hair, is prettier to me. Is that it's? Am I a product of this long term conditioning? More than likely, but I'm certainly not.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not the only one, because if you were to go around Los Angeles, every black woman has shoulder length or longer straight hair. Just about
mm-hmm.
everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everyone. Now, if you were to go up into the Bay Area, because I travel between both places, you'll see a lot more women with natural hair or with locks or with short hair, or they don't seem to be as concerned. So I'm definitely not the only one. If it's brainwashing and self-hate, I'm certainly not alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say this, though. I mean, that's your opinion, and I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of black men won't admit that. You know, they won't admit it. And for me, I had to recondition my way of thinking about that, too, because, like I said, growing up and as you grow older, it's all about your hair. For black women, it's all about our hair.
Man,
from the time, like
deal.
I said, we little girls, from the time to we teenagers and all that, it's about our hair. We want our hair to look good. We want our hair to look right. We don't want other girls talking about, oh, your hair looks nice, or did you see her hair, or whatever. Like, black women, we just have that hair thing. We do.
What about the girl in the Olympics that did so well in the Olympics and won the Olympics? I can't remember her name, but the gymnast in the Olympics. And social media went crazy on her hair. I mean, she's out there sweating. She's out there sweating, running around, and won the gold medal, I think. I mean, she did incredibly well.
She did, and I think she won something. But I thought that was so disrespectful, man. That was just so way out of line. You concentrate. You see what black people's minds are on bullshit constantly.
Right.
And that just shows you, hey, look, this is when we got so many problems, but you're going to concentrate on something like that, not her achievements,
mm-hmm.
not what she's
mm-hmm.
done. So how many people
mm-hmm.
she beat out to get to this point, and you saying
mm-hmm.
nothing about that. I had a problem with,
but there was a
talented,
big, you know,
positive, beautiful young black woman, and y'all mm-hmm. talking about her hair.
Right.
That
hair
right
pretty,
there is an example.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's pretty low. Or even when you see one of these celebrity, for instance, one of these celebrity white women that has one of these fad black babies,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of them. What happens when they take a picture out? If you read the comments online, like
mm-hmm.
that white woman don't know how to take care of that child's hair. That child's
mm-hmm.
hair shouldn't be coming out looking like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I grew up like that, too. I mean, when I say
mm-hmm.
I grew up like that, I had aunts and grandmother, and my mother fought the power. I mean, she was, there's no such thing as good hair. That hair is hair. But
mm-hmm.
She fought a losing battle, and that was years ago. Let me ask you this, how do you remember the comments?
Let me see. Sister, you might remember this more. From Cheryl Underwood?
I know who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember the comments? Pretty much, she was saying, you know, and she was on some show. I can't remember. And then she was on there with these other white women, just down the other sisters about their head. You can't do nothing with the black hair. You know, I was like, oh, wait a minute. You sitting right there like that, saying that you don't know how many people you pissing off. And sure as hell, she pissed off a whole lot of people. She tried to come back and apologize, but I said, hey, you ain't. You need to do a hell of a lot more than that.
She said, what now? I missed that part.
She just attacked natural hair and how difficult it was to work with, even though it is true. But it's only difficult to work with because people want it to look different than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. But this one I want to say, though, about that, or about all of that, is, you know, it is a lot of conditioning. And, Rob, when you talked about self-hate, that element is in there because, again, we get a lot of recognition as black women from other women, but from men, too. from men too, because deep H2O keeps, you know, he wants to say that it's women who look, try to look good for other women. That is true. That is true. But black men, see, this is where I have to bring in black men in this too, because a lot of black men nowadays, okay, it's becoming this thing about, why are y'all wearing weave? Why are y'all wearing weave? Wear your natural hair and all of that. But, like I said, in my generation, I can even think back and remember black boys and hearing black men at that time talk about, oh, look at her hair is nappy, or look at them naps on the back of your neck, you got a kitchen, or whatever. And if you had your hair nappy, you had your hair naturally coarse, you were not cute. You were not getting guys really trying to talk to you, really. If they did, they still maybe say something about your hair. Like, it was a part of the package. I mean, and it is what it is. I can even remember this biracial girl named Ray, but she had still kind of really coarse hair, you know, even to be biracial. And even though a lot of boys liked her, they were still like, man, can you straighten your hair out? So can you, like, do something to that? And so that's the thing is, you know, black men have helped us to feel the way we do about our hair. Some of us feel the way we do about our hair. And now all of these black women are kind of having, not all of them, but some of them are having an epiphany about it and saying, well, damn, well, hold up. I can wear my hair. I can rock my hair how it is. It looks beautiful. It looks gorgeous. There's more and more products out there now, because that was a thing, too. There wasn't a lot of products out there that worked for our hair naturally. So sisters now are getting that concept a little bit more. It's becoming more in style. And so they're doing that. But then you've also got to think about it. Are black men really, do black men really like natural hair?
Some may. I would say most don't necessarily care for it. And I'd say there was a good portion of black men that are just ambivalent and don't care one way or another. Because I'm surprised how many black men are so accepting of weaves.
You know what you said earlier, Renee, was when this, see, what you said about this that sister who was biracial, but she had
mm-hmm.
that hair.
Mm-hmm.
So this the thing, you know, they flocked to her because she was biracial. Basically,
right.
I see a lot of people flocking to that, because they're trying to deal with that whiteness. And that's the same mm-hmm. thing with going ahead and getting that weave, trying to get your shit as much as white as you can. Go ahead and get to that whiteness and scared of your blackness, afraid
mm-hmm.
of your blackness. Don't want to go ahead and show your blackness at all.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to go ahead and hide it as much as you can. Later on, we're going
right.
to have to talk about skin bleaching and weave. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can see skin bleaching is definitely being self-hate, because...
Mm-hmm.
There are advantages to a woman for having a weave. It
mm-hmm.
the maintenance, the care. Black women have
mm-hmm.
to spend hours in the evening, wrap their hair. They have to go through an awful lot to keep their hair.
Hold on, Mr. Beasley. Go ahead, Renee. How much is, what is the maintenance cost monthly or weekly for the weave?
Not just in money. How about in time?
Okay.
For me, when I was wearing weave in my hair, it was $60, and I went to the salon every 2 weeks.
The initial getting it done in the beginning, how much was that?
That depends on what you get. I was getting something they call a quick weave. Okay. So that's going to be less expensive. If you're getting a sew-in weave, then you're going to start out at about $120, at least $100.
And that's
then
low.
You're going to work up.
That's low end.
That's low end. That's what I'm saying.
That's real low end. That is something that looks like a weave. They've
right.
got women out here in Los Angeles that I know spend $1,000 to get real Indian hair. And to get it put in a way where you can't hardly tell, and you
but
can't
I'm
tell.
But I'm speaking about the actual process of getting it put in. I'm not even talking about the price of the hair.
Okay.
So it's going to start out. I'm saying just to put it in. And when I say $60, when I'm talking about the quick weave, I'm also not talking about the price of the hair. I'm talking about the price of, you know, going and getting it installed and put in, your hair washed and taken care of underneath and all that good stuff.
Oh, wait, wait a minute. Getting it installed, you made it seem like it's carpet.
It almost
is
carpet. They braid their hair that they have underneath. They braid it, and they have a little, and they have a cap over it, some type of cap, and then they start putting.
Some, it depends.
Well,
it
there's
depends.
All kinds of ways to do it, but it's it's a process, like you said.
Well, for me, like getting a quick weave, and I'll tell y'all what a quick weave is for people who don't know, or for black men who don't know. What a quick weave is like, for me, my hair is fairly long. So my hair would be washed and set and then brushed up and while it's wet and put into like a ponytail at the back of my hair. And then the rest of the hair will be combed out and kind of combed onto my scalp. I know you probably can't visualize. But anyway, and then if you, let's say if you have short hair, I'll say somebody with short hair, their hair is washed and then it's all slicked down. Think of it as being slicked down completely. Okay, then you get under the dryer and your hair needs to get completely dry. And they have this stuff that's kind of like a silicone base, I guess. It's a hair product. And they put it over your hair after you come out the dryer. Or they, like you got a couple minutes left on the dryer. They put it all over your hair. Okay, then you finish that. Once you get out, then that's where they take the hair and they measure it, you know, around your hair, and they clip it and they glue it in to your hair. And that base that they put over your hair is so that when you're done with the style, you can just go wash your hair and it'll pull right on out. Like it just, it won't leave any damage to your hair, won't leave anything in your hair. So all of this is on top of your hair underneath it. And so that's what a quick weave is. And I had somebody who's, you know, one of my best friends who I grew up with. She is phenomenal. She's out of this world. And my hair never looked like a weave. And I'm going to be so honest with you. It really never did. I was never that, you know, people never knew because my hair was is already a nice length. But then people would say, well, why did you get your hair like that when you can actually get your hair like that? And the thing is because it's easier. It's easier because when I have my hair in that same style I had to do, where I had it super, super curly and stuff, my hair will begin to fall with the humidity. Whereas when the weave, the hair stays curly longer. It's going to just stay curly. And I can put my little bonnet or my scarf on at night and get up in the morning, take it off, and I'm out the door. So it's like it's benefits to it for time and maintenance.
You know what? Yeah, somebody put in the chat room, like, that's a lot of maintenance. And besides, you know, you can go ahead and do that. It really don't make no sense to me. You went through all that to push your, mm-hmm. pat your hair down, to cover it up, to put on some fake. I don't get that.
She's not the only one.
But look, that's because I thought that was cute. It was a pretty style. And it was. It was a good-looking style. It looked completely like my hair. People thought it was my hair. They never knew the difference. I got so many compliments. And men loved it. Men loved my hair. And they would be like, oh, yes, that looks really good on you or whatever, you know. And that's what it was. And that's what I'm saying. Some of y'all men, y'all don't realize. I think now men are maybe more skeptical. But y'all don't realize that. Some of these women, y'all make compliments to when you think she's got naturally beautiful hair or whatever. That's not really her hair, and you're complimenting her on her hair. And that's why she's doing that, because you want that, you know?
You can admire, but you have to admire from afar, because you can admire and look at it, but you can't touch.
That's, no, you cannot.
All you got to do is stick your hand towards that hair, and she'll let you know that it's... She'll let you know real quick that it's fake.
That is fake.
Yeah,
yes.
Man. Oh, man. Yeah, yes. I've seen that a bunch of times. Hey, get back. Wait.
Yeah, like, don't don't get into no motion now. And try
how
to
do
you
get
my hair? Yeah. No.
How do you wear your hair now, Renee?
Right now I wear my hair blown out. And so I've been without doing relaxers and any of that, I'm about 3 months into it. Now let me say my hair is probably not really as coarse. Like I probably couldn't have like an afro or whatever. But my hair is it's a decent braid. It's a decent braid. So
see,
when you
listen,
get your
just
hair,
that, just that terminology is part
right,
of the whole pathology.
Right, I know. That's
you know
bad.
What? And
that's
I, and
bad.
I was waiting for you to say it because I was going to say. So what is it? A medium grade?
No, I recognize that.
I know you thought about it, but that whole terminology is part of this whole pathology, and it's a pathology, and it goes back hundreds of years, and it ain't going
to
change.
Oh, you know what, dude? In 2K, you're going to have to call in because you need to. I ain't going to keep repeating it. But you see his question, you know, that's something else, too. His question is, what about all that head patting? I mean, you see women walking down the street, and they just smacking the hell out of their head, they're hitting their head.
Hit
I know they're trying to get them, you know, scratch and stuff, but they just smacking. Standing there talking to you, and they get to smacking and hitting and smacking. That's a distraction.
They're doing that to not disrupt what's underneath. Okay? Because you can't really, like, depending on the type of weave these girls have, you cannot necessarily get up in there and scratch it how you want to. So the padding is to try to alleviate the itching, but without disrupting whatever connections and
you
know, all kind of gadgets you scratch it,
you might have a bald spot. You might scratch and pull out a whole section of hair.
I don't like that. I mean, I think that looks ridiculous when women sit there and pat on their head. A grown woman sitting here patting on her head like that. I hate that. Now, when I wore a quick weave and my hair would itch, I would take a little hairpin or a little rat tail comb, and I would just stick it in there and just scratch my hair where it's. I never did that pat thing, and I don't know. I never get into that. I think that looks crazy.
I think it's crazy. It's, you know, all of a sudden you're talking, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And, get the banging and stuff in the head. And, you know, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's,
don't
want to
disrupt it.
And then plus your scalp, that irritates your scalp, scratching your scalp. You know, just things like that. It's multiple reasons, but when you have that weave, though, you don't want to get up in there.
How much damage does it do to your head? Does it do to your scalp?
It can do a lot of damage. It depends on a couple things. It depends on, one, what type of weave that you're getting on your hair. It depends on the person. Is this your cousin Kiki who just looks online on YouTube to know how to sew it in and stuff?
Or
is this
a
woman who's
a professional?
Right. A woman who's a professional who's state approved and she has the credentials and, you know, experience. And it depends on yourself, your maintenance. Like, some women, you know, if you're not willing to really pay the money to keep it up and go consistently to get your hair done, then you probably don't want to get it because some girls go and get it done and then they try to like do patch up jobs by themselves and put glue here and try to do this to keep the style longer, and you jack up your hair doing that.
I remember once I was at this club, right, and it was a lady, she came through, and you could tell she had weave. It just looked, she looked like more like a camouflage sniper. You know how that camouflage shit they have on? That's That's where she looked. Yeah. Her hair was just so out there. And she walked by. She had a nice body. When she walked by me, it was me, my brothers, my cousin, and one of the guys from the crowd smacked her on her butt. And I was like, man, that's wrong. But she turned around. She turned and looked at me and called me a bunch of lowlifes and all this other stuff. So as she turned and looked at me and was calling me names.
You know you smacked her butt, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I did it. So
I know.
What I did was when she turned around and started talking to somebody else, I could see that clump of weave coming out of her hair, and I pulled it. And whoo, that she went off more than everybody smacking on her butt. Because we pulled that weave off. Man, she called me more motherfuckers. I ain't never been so many motherfuckers in my life.
Well, you were. You deserved that one.
You embarrassed her. You embarrassed her. You shamed her about her weave.
She called me so many. I pulled that clump out. I was like, damn, this shit about almost 3-4 feet long.
Oh, Rob, why you do that?
Because she had no business. Okay, look, I can understand her going here. She came to me. I didn't touch her first. Okay? I didn't touch her first. When she came, she looked at me and, like, called me a bunch of names, blah, 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 blah. And somebody else hit on the butt. She turned and said, so you didn't have to do that, blah, blah. And I just pulled that. I just pulled it. And it was long. That shit seemed like it was thick. It looked like a snake. Coming out of her damn head. I was like, oh, shit. And she, oh, you motherfucker, fucker, motherfucker, motherfucker, mother. I mean,
ooh.
I got called a lot of motherfuckers. I just kept on drinking my drink. As long as she don't spill my drink, we fine.
Right, that's not right. That is very embarrassing to a
woman.
Okay,
I'm retarded. I ain't got no damn shame. I didn't care. Shit, but she
was the hair, like, loose? Like, it was coming out?
She didn't have to do that. But, you know, I see them like that, and I was like, man, when you talk about patching, she had to do the patching herself.
And that stuff looks crazy. Because, see, what happens is underneath your hair, I mean, underneath all that stuff, your hair is continually growing. So then you get, like, that new growth. That's why you still see some girls with weave, and it looks
I mean, but you're not told from the beginning. I mean, when the person is doing the weave, I mean, they go to school and they know about hair and they know a little bit about the science about the scalp and they got to get into chemicals and all this stuff. And you don't tell them, hey, look, your hair gonna grow a little bit. You know, and from what I know, I think your hair grows about 1/4 inch almost every 10 days.
Yes, they tell these girls this, and that's why I'm saying, if you don't have the money to properly maintain it, that's why I don't understand. Don't get a weave, please, because it ends up looking crazy, and then you have these young girls, and oh my gosh, I know some of them, little young pretty girls that I know, and they go. One, I don't want to say if she ever hears this, she's going to kill me, but she had her other little friend put in this weave in her hair, and they did that red, she did that red hair like Rihanna had that red, she did that same red, and it was long, and her friend put it in, and oh, gosh, I'm like, why are you doing that, like, why would you let just somebody who's experimenting put something in your head like that? It looks crazy.
Right.
That's why you can't just sit up and let anybody be playing around putting weave in your hair. Go get that professionally done. If you cannot, then wear another style. That's not made. Those things are not made to be put in at home. It's not. It's made to be professionally done, and it says that on all those products.
So there's no home repair kit for that?
No. The home repair kit is a bottle of weave glue and some hair glue.
What's that weave glue like? Because I was in the Army, and I, like, studied to be my job was to be a plumber and water treatment specialist. So, but, you know, we got to go ahead and deal with the plastic pipe and you go ahead and you glue that all together. Is there anything like that glue there? Because me, I was stupid at the time. I glued my fingers together. So, and it took like a lot of ointments and creams and a lot of stuff to get it off. And it took almost 2 days to get my fingers unglued. So is there anything similar to that glue? How strong is that glue?
Oh, my God. The glue is not very strong. It's really just going to work on hair. It's just really going to work on that hair that it's made for. Like, it's very tacky. That's what I'll say. It's very, very tacky. Once it starts to get a little air to it, oh, man, it's going to stick.
Okay, so what is the flaking stuff?
What is the what?
The flaking stuff. I've seen someone with, like, this, like, flaky stuff coming out the hair. Is that the scalp getting damaged, or is that the glue coming loose?
Flaky stuff, I don't know, besides it being dangerous.
Yeah, she had some problems then.
Yeah, because, see, that's what I'm saying. You have new growth. You have hair constantly growing under your weave. So, you know what I mean? You're going to have a lot of issues under there.
So, have you ever been to one of these hair shows?
Yeah, I went to a couple hair shows. Actually,
all
the,
that's all we ain't nothing natural coming out of that, is it?
No, and that's what it is. It's for that. It's to be outrageous. It's to try to show your creativity and to try to show what skills you do have, but it's on a magnified level. You know what I mean? It's meant to be outrageous. Like, these are not going to be typically styles or anything that you would typically do on somebody's hair that they will wear out. You know what I mean? It's made to be over the top.
But that's over the top. But that's what they're doing. I think they're testing. I think some people are testing it at those hair shows and see what see what would kind of flow when they come out in public.
Yeah, but this is going to be a turned down version of it. You know what I mean? It's going to be toned down from how it would be in a hair show.
I'm trying to. I can't fathom that. I'm just. I'm having some issues with that. I'm like this, you know. Do black men really desire a woman with natural hair? You know, you gave me that question, and I think so. Every now and then, like, touch your head. I can't go ahead and touch you. Hey, don't touch the hair. Hey, get that. I mean, but you get that with women who got using their hair, and they just get their hair done. Like, hey, don't touch the hair. Don't touch the fucking hair, nigga.
Black men obviously are ambivalent or have no problem with weaves, because all of these women wouldn't wear weaves if it was something that repelled black men.
Right. But see, this is my thing too. When you talk about other races of women, see, this with the self-hate and with our black men, do black men really like natural hair and all this kind of stuff? Okay, I was on this site. I've been a member on this one site for a long time, and it is, you know, black people around my age group, mostly. There's some other races on there too, but mostly, you know, in talking about, you know, just current, you know, the board and all that. And the guys on there, and it's mostly black men on there, and the guys on there, there's a part where they post up, you know, the hottest looking girls or whatever. And consistently, it is biracial women, women like Alicia Keys, they put her in there plenty of times, but women like Alicia Keys, that type of look, biracial women with the hair, you know, the longer curly hair, they put in there, I guess, thick, what they call them, thick white girls or whatever. They have, you know, of course, Latina women or, you know, that's, and my comment to them was, what's the deal? Is it the hair? I mean, I know it's a combination with the skin tone and everything like
those
that. But a lot of them talk about black women's hair, that black women need to stop wearing so many weaves, these guys on this site. But then when I do see them post up black women, they're posting up black women who are very light-skinned black women who have long weaves, long straight weaves.
Well, those
and
really
I'm thinking,
good.
Go ahead.
No, well, a really good weave, you can't tell. The weave that costs, you know, $700
right.
and up, you can't tell. They're really done
right.
that good a job. And another thing I think you're getting an honest of what those men, what their ideal woman looks
mm-hmm.
like, but what their fantasy ideal woman looks like and what they probably deal with in real life are two different things.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is
so the fact
they don't
that they
reflect-
like.
But look, this is what I'm saying. They don't, and I've told them this plenty of times, the women that you all post up, as much as you talk about, and this is these guys, like I said, and to me they're representative of pretty much black, you know, black men in this society right now, in this age group. Okay, you talk about black women wearing weaves and all that kind of stuff. You talk about how you want a black woman who can be herself and can be natural. And, you know, you talk about black, dark-skinned black women are beautiful, too, and all this kind of thing. But the women that you post up don't reflect that. I don't see a lot of black women that are posted up that are being natural. And let's be clear, I went and I found, I mean, hundreds of, I mean, there were so many pictures. Because I made two separate threads. Showing black women who were brown skin or darker, who were natural women, whose bodies were banging, beautiful faces, everything. And the guys were in shock. And they all were like, oh, I got so many. Thank you. Oh, that was amazing. They're beautiful. But that's when I told them, like, I don't feel like you guys seek these women out. You talk about these are the women that you desire, but when you put up what you think is all that, it doesn't reflect natural hair and black women. You know,
because the majority of the black population, and I'm saying the majority, not everybody, buys into that straight hair and curly hair and processed hair is more attractive. Now that
right.
goes across, that's across the board, men and women.
But see, that also
But I really think those guys.
Not just the hair, but it also comes down to, hey, look, you black and ugly. You black, ugly.
Yeah, well, that's part of pathology, and that's been around a long time too.
And so it's been around a long time. But look how it has evolved to this day. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse.
Well,
yeah,
it's gotten better, I would say, over the past 20 years for a dark man. Because the dark man came in style, and
the light-skinned
man was pushed to the side. Now the image today, these younger women seem to, generally speaking, okay, the rough and tumble thug type with dark skin is considered macho and strong and desirable, whereas
right.
the guy with fair skin is considered soft and pansy and light.
Mm-hmm.
He's Drake.
Pretty boy.
He's Drake.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Drake
mm-hmm.
and you've got 50 Cent.
Right.
And I agree with that.
Completely.
And 25, 30 years ago, the Drake type was the epitome of what a black woman wanted in a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's changed. So
mm-hmm.
it's changed for what women desire in men or the younger women
right.
desire in men, but it hasn't changed for women. So there
right.
has been some change. It just hasn't been across the board.
Right. But see, this is the thing, though. Like I said, I appreciate that you can admit these things. But when I tell you, when I say this stuff to black men, like I said, in my age group and who supposedly are supposedly evolved thinkers and, you know, conscious of life and what's going on. They say, oh, no. Dark-skinned women are just free. I don't have a preference for light-skinned women. I don't have a preference for biracial hair or this certain type of hair. But it's so
but the pictures they put up tell you something different because they're being fake.
Right. Exactly.
Even now, they're
exactly.
being fake when they don't have to be. They're being fake behind the anonymity of the Internet.
And then now, there's this girl, there's this woman named Peace Hyde, and she has a phenomenal, a banging body. She's a dark-skinned, very dark-skinned woman. She has short, natural hair, and she's beautiful. And it's like when they put her up, there had to be all this, like, they want a pat on the back for putting this, like, you're supposed to get some prize whenever you do, like, whenever they do put up a darker skin, you know, woman whose hair is natural, whatever, they act like this is some huge accomplishment and that they should get on a pat on the back and recognized for doing that. And, you know, to me, it just speaks to, again, the assimilation in our community. It speaks to the self-hatred that exists of our hair, of some of our features. And it also speaks to that kind of break, that separatism between black men and black women. Because it's like black men who you would think would be down for black women, who would be like, they are the most beautiful, because we are. Black women are the most beautiful of every race of woman. And, again, that's my opinion, but, I mean, it is what it is. But black men don't really hold us down like that. And, you know, it tends to be other races of women being put on a pedestal. But then when they talk to you about your hair, they talk about you for wearing a weave. But you desire this type of hair. And, see, that's where they get it mixed up at, is they talk about the weave. But black women are doing a lot of this stuff for black men. We're doing a lot of this stuff for y'all because we see the way that you all talk about these women's hair and how you adore the hair and how you like the hair so much, how you like their green eyes and blue eyes and hazel eyes and all this kind of stuff. So black women are trying to do that. They're trying to bleach their skin. They're trying to get these contacts, and they're trying to wear weaves because they want to get your attention. They want you to think they're just as beautiful as these other white women that you put on a pedestal.
Can I make a comment about that?
Yes, sir. What, how you doing, brother?
Good. How's everybody? What I find interesting in this whole dynamic is, based on what Renee just said, with the contacts and the weave and the straight hair, it's like sisters want the straight hair and the contacts. The white girls want the tan and the curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
So
grass is always greener on the other side. Everybody's fucked up.
Yeah.
And nobody's
exactly.
satisfied with what they have, is what you're saying.
And what you have is, like, black people, to me, more than anybody else, we suffer from a severe identity crisis. We just, for whatever reason, we are just not comfortable in our own skin, whatever that is, whether it be social, whether it be historically us being nomadic, getting pushed from one end of the earth to the other, whatever the byproduct is, we are just not comfortable with ourselves. One of the comments that I had made in the chat room earlier was how I would hate to be on TV because black people are so critical of each other from a physical standpoint. Man,
hypercritical.
Man, if you on TV, like y'all was saying about the little gymnast, if you somebody else, if it ain't what you wearing, why he wearing that, why she wearing that, why her hair like that, what kind of haircut this fool wearing, who said that was it? I mean, and it's like we just go, it's like a merry-go-round, and it never, ever stops.
Like a shark tank.
It's just endless. And my thing mm-hmm. now is that the weaves have gotten so sophisticated, because initially mm-hmm. it was geared towards, you know, black women basically supported the market. And because it gained so much popularity through the black community, it just filtered out everywhere. You got white women getting weave. Everybody get a weave now. Like Beasley has said before, depending on how much, it's kind of hard mm-hmm. to tell whether it's that person's hair, regardless of their color or not, or if it's a weave. Now, with white women, they're able to disguise it so much more because we're just used to seeing them in a certain light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they normally, for them, having shoulder-length hair is no big deal. So if they mm-hmm. extended another quarter of an inch, another half an inch, nobody's the wiser.
But let me tell you about that, though. In this video, and I got to get it done. I just keep tweaking and tweaking it more. But this video I have coming out is the same. I'm talking about this very thing, all of this with the black woman, or excuse me, black men putting white women on pedestals, the hair and all that. And these pictures that I have, and all of this stuff, I think a lot of black men are going to be very surprised to see it. And they're going to see how short some of these white women's hair is. And then with the weave and all of that that they have, how completely different it is, how long and luxurious their hair looks. A lot of black men have no clue that these white women get something called fusion. And they get it to where individual strands, and it's mixed into the back and the mid sections of their hair mostly, and it's individual small sections, and they take, you know, other human hair pieces that are dyed to whatever color their hair is, blonde or brown or whatever, and they take it and they take, it's like a little, kind of like a heat thing, kind of like a flat iron type of thing, but it's not a flat iron, and it fuses the hair with their hair, okay? And to me, it always kind of looked like it would be painful or something. I know it's not, I guess it's not, but, and they do that, and it's hidden all inside of their hair. And it looks just like this is their long, flowing hair. And why, when you guys see this stuff, you're going to be surprised. And they have the tracks that they were putting in, the girls were clipping in the tracks and pulling them out. And people don't realize, because like you said, people are none the wiser because they think, oh, well, all white women's hair is long or can be long. So they don't really look at that. It's only the black women that get critiqued because, oh, well, you have a relaxer and you have weave in your hair. But I'm telling you, it's white women spend more money because that fusion, woo-hoo, that's
the thing. How do you put a relaxer and weave at the same time? How that work?
Because your hair is relaxed and straightened out, so that when you put the weave in, it's the textures match each other. I mean, you have what they call a leave out, which when you get depending on what kind of weave you get, like for me when I did the quick weave, that I had a middle section where my hair could be parted and everything, and around the front sections of my hair, it looked just like my hair. But those parts of my hair were left out. It's called a leave out. And then the rest of it is molded down. And then you put the weave in, and then your hair goes over those areas. But now when you see some of these women and it looks like their hairline or the part, I know y'all have seen that, where it looks like, okay, that looks crazy like that. Something's not right with that. Well, now they have what's called an invisible part, but it looks crazy to me. And so it's supposed to be where you can put all your hair down. You don't have to worry about trying to have a leave out and trying to fit that situation in. You put all your hair down. You put the weave completely over it. And the invisible part is supposed to make it look like your hair is naturally parted. And that's just your hair just, you know, flowing or whatever.
My question to all of that is it really worth it to go through all that? I mean, really, let's be realistic. Is it really worth all of that to be complimented? The money, the money, the time. Now, you're talking about a whole lot of stuff, Renee. I would have never known weaves were so scientific.
Yeah,
you're right. You got the leave out, then you got the fusion, and then there's a mm-hmm. way that you can circumvent the leave out, and
right.
then you know you can get it relaxed so that the texture, there's no break in the texture, and then it's all
right.
uniform. Oh
mm-hmm.
my God, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. Clearly it is. Clearly it is for many women because they continue to do it. For me, it was two things. I like the look of it, and I like the, the ease of it. That was it for me. I didn't want anything that looked like I had all this hugely long hair all the way down to my butt and all this other stuff. I didn't want that. I just wanted my hair that... I wanted my hair, but I wanted it to be ease with it.
So I wasn't wrong for going ahead. I wasn't wrong for testing that weave when I was in that club, was I?
Yes, you were wrong, and I'm not going to tell you wasn't wrong. You just, yes, you were wrong.
That's not cool. I got somebody else got their hand up. 757-888. Your nine is open. State your name, where you calling from, please.
Peace. How you doing, Brother Rob? This is Brother Celestial.
Hey, brother. How you feeling?
Oh, pretty good. Just listening in on the conversation.
Okay, well, you had some comments in the chat room. I want you to go ahead and put them out, present them to the sister, please.
Oh, okay. Oh, how you doing, Sister Renee?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. I just wanted to say something. I know a lot of times you get with some brothers, you know, the back and forth with them and this whole thing with hair weaves and how important it is and all this other nonsense. But I'm just here to say, for the real brothers out there, we don't care if, you know, a sister got weave in her hair or if she natural. Long as she got some intelligence, she good to go.
That's
go.
Right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. I wish more, you know, and I think it, you know what, I think it is a growing number of black men that really feel like what you said, that are, you know, that real black men, it's like a line. It's like a line being drawn in the sand. And it's like either it's the black men that's on this side or that side. And I think we have some black men that are just being very insulting, I guess, because there's, you know, that Uncle Tommy person and people like that that are trying to call women hair hats and they're this and they're that, and put black women down about their weeds. And then you have the other segment of black men who are like, you know what, if you look good, you look good. And, you know, who would, I think, probably prefer a black woman to be herself, but, you know, they're not saying it makes you less of a
good woman. I don't deal with women that wear weaves.
Why? Why? What is that?
Because it's fake, and there's so many women out there with real hair. I just don't deal with women that wear weaves, but what the man that just called in, he spoke on something real serious that we haven't touched on. Now, if I had a choice of dealing with a woman with fake hair and a real personality or a person with real hair and a fake personality, I'm going to deal with the person with the real personality.
Okay, well then...
But that doesn't mean I put women with weaves down. It's just something that doesn't appeal to me.
Yes, you do.
Actually, it's a turnoff. But I don't have to say anything bad about them. I don't have to express that to them. I just don't pursue them. And if they
were
to pursue,
but why is it a turnoff? And how do you know it's a turnoff? You don't know every woman's hair is a weave. And you will see in this video I have.
I probably all these black women
that it's their natural hair. That's long and pretty. And
I already told you, Renee, that I know the litmus test. I know what to do. All you got to do is reach your hand towards it.
But
I got the puzzle figured out. You're not talking to a puppy out here, a guinea pig.
But black women are already hesitant about their hair, whether it's natural or not.
That's their issue, not mine.
We're already like, don't touch me. Okay, hold up. Whether it's weave in there or not, black women are already one of them types of women that's not like, you're going to be touching all in my hair. So I don't know if
not that all, is not all. I think it's safe to say that a woman with tracks in her hair is gonna with a weave in her hair is gonna pull away or be more offensive, or if you touch her hair, she's liable to call you all kind of MFs, like my man just said.
Oh,
as compared
come on.
To and I think that's my experience.
So if a woman wears a weave, then she's gonna call you an MF.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Please, I didn't say that.
If you
well,
touch,
well, kind of
I mean, if we can't touch your hair, something's wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
well,
don't act like y'all don't know that's
no,
a black
Renee,
woman thing.
Renee, you might be advised to understand that there's a couple of brothers that are on this line that's probably older than you think they are. I'm one of them.
Okay.
I'm not an 80s baby.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
My point is that up until this point, I have not ever been or dated a woman who's worn a weave. Now, like I said before, there was a time when I could tell, but now they're so sophisticated with it. The only way you're going to be able to tell is by touching it or if there's any kind of evidence left behind because, you know, certain weaves do have a tendency to shed.
Right.
So, you know, that's a dead giveaway. But other than that, I mean, I by appearances, I used to be able to tell. Nowadays, I have to be honest, I can't tell unless it's very poorly done. If it's well done, just on sight, I don't know the difference.
Okay, but just like the brother said, you know, if the woman has a good mind, that's what's most important. So why is it that if she has a weed, you won't date her?
I never said that.
You know what? We're all a little different. We all have our different preferences.
I understand that, but why? What is the reasoning behind it?
I think I know what it is, Renee.
I've been involved with too many women with real hair to deal with someone with fake hair.
But what does that really mean, though? That's not saying anything about her character as a woman.
No, it doesn't, but it's just something that's just an aversion to me. Maybe I can't identify exactly the reasons why, but maybe I'm thinking about what it looks like underneath there. It's almost like a woman with makeup on and a lot of makeup, and when the makeup comes off.
Exactly.
He's laughing because it hits the nail on the head. You don't know really what you're doing.
From a man's point of view, it is
okay.
When it comes to looks,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to looks, I mean,
but,
do you really
are you really
with a top notch woman, a 9 or a 10, or is this just a 6.5 with a whole lot of window dressing on it?
Well, are you really a 9 or a 10 man?
You have nine or ten money. Look, I've always had Excalibur game, even when it was on a Volkswagen frame. Definitely.
But that's what I'm saying.
Don't. I have standards, and that's just something.
But
that
what do you
fit.
Mean?
That doesn't fit into my program. Now it may fit into the next guy's program.
I understand, you know, of course, like you said, we do all have preferences, you know.
Right.
I get that. I understand that.
Wait
what
a minute.
I'm saying is...
Hold on, Renee. Who's fixing their car right now?
Popping popcorn. Scratching their weave, it sounds like they might be scratching their weave with the phone.
Oh, man.
It's just my thing. It's just my preference. It's just my thing.
Okay, and I'm not even really just talking about you or specifically you, but you do represent, you know, a good number of black men who feel that way, that they just don't want to date a woman who wears a weave. And to me, I think that's just another thing that keeps black men and black women divided because that's going to automatically be associated. Wait a minute. That's going to automatically be associated with black women wearing a weave. Because for the most part, if you're looking at a white woman, you're not thinking, does she wear weave? And if she does, I'm not going to date her. I mean, those things don't typically line up in that type of direction.
I've been informed by a cousin who happens to have long, flowing, beautiful hair that all women wear tracks and fake hair. The Mexican girls, the beautiful Mexican girls you see with the full set of hair, they have tracks and hair pieces in their hair, and the white girls do it too. And I was really crestfallen to find that out. But that is a fact.
That's why I told you in this video, some black men who did not know, they will see the evidence of what I'm talking about and be like, "What?" Because like I said, that when you say that you don't or you won't date a woman with weeds, that's immediately, I mean, come on, and you know it is.
Don't read
it's
too much into it.
Hold on a minute.
I don't know if you should read that much into it. It's just a knee-jerk reaction. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Celeste real. I can never keep saying your name right. It confuses me. That's it, right?
Celeste real.
Yes, I wanted you to. Yeah, go ahead and say what you said. Go ahead, what you typed in the chat room. Say that out loud.
Well, I don't think it's so much the weave. The thing is this, and this is just from my experience. I know I'm younger than the other brothers on the phone. I'm only 23, but the thing I notice is with cats my age is this. They use the weave, in my opinion, sometimes as a scapegoat when they're looking for females, especially when they're finding females in the wrong places like the club. The thing I notice is the weave always gets associated with the sister who they want to call welfare and low income, versus the sister who may be college educated and the one who may, you know, have her own place and taking care of her business. So they say, well, I don't like dating sisters with weed. No, what they're really saying is, I don't want to deal with hood rats. And that's what I'm saying some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He made an interesting point, and I think the point that he just made there is that the lower socioeconomic woman is going to have a lower quality weave, whereas the educated employed woman that earns more, it has a good chance to have a $700-$800 weave. More expensive, the Janet Jackson weave, they used to call it. I remember they used to call it the Janet Jackson weave, the weave that Janet Jackson had.
And I'd also like to add that I think that men who disqualify women based solely on a weave is in the vast minority.
Right, I think so too.
For men, as far as dating is concerned, Renee, that's not gonna be a deal breaker.
And see and I hear you on that. But see when what Beasley was saying when he said he doesn't date women with weave, and to go along with what the brother just said, which was so on point. But see, that's what I mean. When you get some black men who don't want to date black women, and they want to have an excuse. They want to have an easy way out. They want to not, you know, have anybody in their ear talking about, well, why don't you date black women or whatever. So it's very easy to then try to qualify certain women by using a standard. And because, you know, something like weave is associated with black women primarily.
Renee, you are reading too much.
No, I'm not.
Let me tell you a little bit about me. And
let
me tell you a little bit about what a real man. A real man. No, let me tell you this because you're going off.
Let him make a point.
Let me just make this point. A real man, okay, a man, he's not worried about what people are saying and thinking, okay? A real man is living his life, taking care of responsibilities, has both his feet on the ground, and deals with what's real. And what's real is not what everyone is saying or thinking or making up excuses for the things that they like and don't like. Because I don't have to explain shit to anybody at the end of the day. It's my life. I'm living it. And that's what a real man, man does with
things.
What you're talking about is someone that's concerned with pleasing people instead of pleasing themselves. Go ahead.
Go ahead, sister.
Okay, he said I can go ahead now. But okay, you can say how you feel, and you said a real man and all that. To me, a real man, I'm not saying you're not a real man. Obviously, I don't know you like that. But to me, a real man doesn't qualify women based upon some hair. they look deeper than that because it's more important than that. And something that's real is going to be what's inside. Something that's real is going to be what really makes her up as a woman that she's doing. So that's
somebody
where,
real doesn't
where
have to do
that.
Fake shit,
but,
period.
Come on, baby.
But that
person doesn't do fake shit, period.
But that's on the outside. Beauty is going to fade anyway. That's nothing concrete. That's nothing that speaks deeper of her as a woman. And like I said, a lot of black women, we like variety with our hair anyway. What is wrong with that? Why does that make her less of a woman or less qualified because she wears a damn weave? She might have a weave on today, and next week she's got her own hair. I mean, like I said, it can be a thing of variety. There's a lot of reasoning behind it for different women. That's why I'm saying to just disqualify women who wear a weave. That's, to me, that's a cop-out. And
it ain't a cop-out. It may be
you,
a little bit superficial. And
it
may be a little peculiar. But it ain't a cop-out.
It is a cop-out for some black men. And that's what I'm saying. You said for you. You don't give a damn about what anybody thinks. You don't have to make excuses or do whatever. That's you, though. That's you. You said
right.
You were a real man.
I,
so
if you know somebody that's explaining their life, okay, and their choices and their decisions, and they're doing it based and part of what they're and a lot of what they're concerned about is what other people think. You've got a person. You don't have a person with both feet in the ground. You've got a dandelion.
Whatever,
you know what a dandelion
is,
does? You blow on it, and it just goes in the
whatever
wind.
Whatever it is, let me.
It ain't a man. It ain't a man.
Please let me finish. You can say it's not a man or whatever you want to say, but it's the reality of it. There are
no, it
black
ain't a reality.
People.
It's a reality
let
for fake
finish.
People. With fake
oh,
hair, it's a reality.
Can I finish?
Okay.
The reality of it
you
is.
Ain't,
you
you ain't
black
changing
black
nothing
woman.
About the way I'm thinking, but
can
you
I,
can
okay,
talk.
I'm
hold
done.
On, Busy. Just let her make a point. It's not about changing your mind. It's just let her make a point. We're just having a conversation here. That's all we're doing. I'm not trying to persuade nobody to go left, right, up, down. Just go ahead and make your point. And we have a conversation about it. I like to go ahead and have us talk about things that a lot of us don't talk about. And let's talk about this extensively, and let's not go ahead and cut each other off. Let's go ahead and let people make their points and don't interrupt.
I'm good that, with it.
That
I'm
sound
on,
like a deal?
I'm on mute. I'm fine with it.
Thanks. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, sister.
Anyway, you know, the reality of it is, whether these people got 2 feet on the ground or whatever, that's not the point. The point is there are black men, and I am a black woman, so I know this for a fact. I know this. There are black men out here who will use something like saying, I don't date women who wear weave in order to say, I don't date black women. I'm sorry. Now, like the brother who said something earlier, they will say that also to try to weed out, you know, hood rats or women, black women maybe on a lower socioeconomic level. Okay, but there still is a segment. There is a group of men, of black men, who say that because they don't date black women. And it's a way to try to easily weed out saying, oh, well, I don't date black women because of this, that, or the other reason. They could just throw something like weave out there, and that's supposed to explain it all. Oh, okay, I understand, because they wear weave. But see, the thing about it is you can say that they don't, or you're a real man, you don't have to explain anything and all that. But there is a certain connection between black men and black women. So when you as a black man step away and you like, I'm not dating black women, people are going to kind of look at you as, so why not? Why don't you date black women? So for some men, they can say something like, I don't date women who wear weave. And that's supposed to be an excuse. That's supposed to be feasible and understandable. And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So,
okay, hold on. I got another one.
I know men that don't date black women. Okay? I'm not one of them. And usually it has to do with what they perceive as an attitude and a personality. Let me ask you this. Have you guys remember the movie Boomerang that was out 20 years ago? With Eddie Murphy, real good movie, with Eddie Murphy and Robin Givens and a young Halle Berry.
Yes,
you guys remember that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, the Marcus loved black women. He was a player. Well, what was his pet peeve? It was a woman's feet.
Yeah.
He got with Layla Rashan, or whoever was in the other movie, Miss Sunshine, who was really beautiful then. And when he lost his dog, anyway, he bedded her. And in the middle of, and in the morning, he pulled the covers up and saw her feet, and it's like, oh, this is a... That was just
okay.
His peeve. A weave is just my peeve in that way. It has nothing to do. If I were to date a Mexican woman, I'd find out she'd have a weave. That would turn me off. It's just my particular peeve. And
okay,
I,
okay, hold on. I got a new call on. I got another anonymous, unknown caller. 111, your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Maze.
Maze is in the house.
Amazing. Okay, Maze. How would you like to contribute to the topic?
About people not liking weaves and the different type of weaves and hair, and you can't tell with some.
How long you had your weave?
I don't wear weaves. I have my natural hair. I don't even have a perm in my hair.
Just
but I do tell you, I can put a wig on. I can be anything my husband wants me to be, with weave, without weave, short or long. Either way,
uh-oh,
you want. That good enough?
So I think that's one of the things Renee was saying. You agree with that, Renee?
Yeah, yes. Variety. Because like you said, your man can see you in different ways. You can
be in a hat.
Flip it up. You can twist it and do it differently. And to me that would be something I would think a man would be interested in. But
and they do
so
like,
I'm not a man, so
just,
some men
just,
can be interested. But then some women like to wear hats. Some women have hair down their back and still have their hair weaved.
Yep.
Because they don't want to, they don't like to have the top take the time to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you don't know what's underneath it until she pulls it off. It's when she's interested in you. If she's not interested in you, you'll never know. But if she is, you will see it roll down her back longer than the weeds that she have on her head.
True. Just to draw a parallel with the weave, when I was growing up as a child, just like the weave is today, wigs were back then.
Mm-hmm.
Black women, white women, it didn't matter. This was like the 60s. This was, you had the wig, and then all of a sudden it was the braids and the afro. But women still wore wigs, and it's the same as the weave. It's just a different generation of people because the wigs in the 60s were huge. And I'm talking, it's just as many white women wore them as black women wore them. And basically, weaves are the new wig.
And a wig is a deal breaker,
it's
too.
It's not a wig. It's half and half. It's half your hair and half a wig.
Yeah.
The top part can be half of your hair, and the bottom part can be wig. Human hair, which costs $5,000.
Wig is a deal breaker.
I'm saying if you got the real stuff, you can't tell the difference because you can see the part, you can touch the front part, and you can pull it and do all those different things to it.
Now, look, my point was,
you know, one thing that nobody's really touched on, everybody's been talking, all we've been talking about, and it's a good point here. It's a lot of men who go ahead and wear weaves, too.
Yes, RuPaul.
RuPaul, I don't count that.
You mean where weaves have? Oh, like the hair
with the locks? All of them.
Yeah, not really.
Added on to the locks.
Yeah.
Right.
And that looks amazing.
I'm going to lock my hair back up, but I can't deal with a man with weaves in his hair.
Absolutely not.
Hold on a second. Now, that's part of the problem around here.
No, it's not. That's not a male trait to me.
Hold on a second.
That's something women do is putting weaves in their hair.
You are stopping black men and black women from being together.
No, I'm not.
What about a man?
Can I tell y'all what I like since I just called in?
I think a lot of black women use that as excuse not to date black men and to go outside their race.
Oh, be quiet.
Well, I just say it's all here to me.
Hold on a second. It's a ridiculous argument when I make it, but it's a sensible argument.
Renee, you can't have it both ways.
Renee, can I say something about both ways?
To wear weaves and wigs and all that stuff, that's a female thing. That's why somebody called out RuPaul when somebody brought up wearing weave. That's not something you think of a man doing. So, but, no, for me, I don't want a man
who
wears
toupees.
Weave.
They call it a toupee. They call it a toupee.
Sorry.
Yep. Renee,
you know what kind of man I, can I tell you what kind of man I didn't like before I had my husband? Was a bald-headed man. Well, I was one with hair on the side and need to cut it all the way off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It looks a mess.
Yeah.
And then after I married my husband and his hair started coming out, he had to shave it all off. So now I like bald-headed men. But I sure
don't
like to put the hair on the side. And
you
want
him to keep the hair on the side?
Some of them hate to let it go.
I'm going to ask this question because May's been married forever. So this question is for Renee. Did you know that men can get pectoral implants?
Oh, man, I saw that. That
you
was crazy.
I saw this shirt on Facebook. Somebody had on Facebook that was, you can put, not a shirt, but it's like I guess kind of like a bodysuit thing where it looks like you have muscles.
No, you can get pectoral implants.
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm just saying, like, wow. Personally, I don't think I would be. I don't know. I would have to see how it looks.
How would you know? How would you know?
Right.
It just looks like he's buffed.
Right.
You got to touch him just like you touch a woman. They've got some things that look real until you touch them and it feels like there's a tennis ball inside of them.
Right.
or it feels like there's like a water balloon inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
But with jelly.
If it looked good.
But that's not a deal breaker.
And I couldn't tell. No, if I couldn't tell, like, this is a fake.
My point is they got it for everybody now. They got it for everybody. Man, female, it don't matter.
You can
do a redo. However you want to do it, as long as you got the money, you can get it done.
Wow.
So
y'all don't like women with weave? Do y'all like women with no hair at all?
I've seen
some that sport that. Real.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on. Yeah.
Real.
I mean, she could be bald. I mean, true.
Ooh.
Hey, and she still can be sexy. Fuck that. That don't make. I don't know.
So what about a woman with a low cut, like a guy, like?
Oh, that's the best, especially when they got that small narrow face and a small head. Oh God, that's the fuck.
I had a bob head once with a fade. It didn't last long, but I don't know.
That's
if it was
the bomb.
That's what I've heard black men say and stuff like that. Like they feel like they'll look and think they're with a dude or it'll give them that vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, but that's what I've heard.
You know what you with.
And what do you
think about sisters with?
What do y'all think about sisters with locks?
Oh yeah,
I ain't got no problem with it because I used to have them.
That's good too. My thing is, as long as it's worn right, I don't even see the issue.
Right is subjective, though. I hear what you're saying, but right is...
But some of them do wear it wrong. I mean,
Right is not that subjective.
Right means that it's subjective when it comes to something that's someone's taste.
But what I mean by that...
I heard you guys talking about the women earlier with the multicolored hair. I saw a woman today in the supermarket that had to have been 60 with a fancy hairstyle with blue and red, and she had a tattoo on her neck. And I know she was older than me. And she had on baggy jeans and Jordans, the whole shot. She was dressed like she was 20 years old. And this woman had to have been 60. She was a grandmother in there with their kids, and I thought she was unique.
Didn't it look nice?
She looked kind of silly because it was obvious that she was at least 60 years old.
Or maybe a real rough 50.
But what is the deal with that, though?
Because I have seen
older women with these long weaves. But look,
I've seen older women with these long weaves, and to me, that's still like trying to keep up with the young girls, and I'm like, nobody wants to get old. There's no glory anymore in being, you know.
Glory? What's supposed to be? How do you get old?
But that's a lot of, you know, it should be some type of wisdom.
Well, you're getting there. I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing you get old is clothes. Renee, only thing you go old is clothes. Then they come back.
But what my comment about as long as it look right, meaning that whatever style that you sport, it fits you. It fits your body type. It fits your framework. It fits the way that you look. And, yeah, that is subjective. However, we have all seen people who, and especially since we're talking about weaves, we have all seen women who've worn styles where you look at them and it just looks right on them. No matter what it is, it looks right.
Thank
I just
you.
Googled
Thank
ghetto
you.
Hairstyles to see what kind of pictures I can see. Oh, shit.
Do it with me and
this girl here's got cupcakes on her head. One's pink and one's purple.
But see, with that type of stuff right there, that ghetto, whatever, that's why these people, these men, I call them coons. Sorry.
Wait, what? You call them what?
These people, coons. Like a raccoon.
Oh, no. You can't call them that. Because you know what coons stand for?
Come down, their taste is different than hers.
I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Who was the rapper? I think her name was it Afro Puffs? What was her name?
Lady of Ray.
Let's
talk about Patti LaBelle hairstyle when she was back in the day.
What was he saying today? That hairstyle
looked absolutely beautiful on her. Beautiful.
Lady of Rain?
To me.
Is that
yes.
who you were talking about?
To me.
Okay.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
That it fit her perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody can't wear that.
Right.
But it worked
I agree.
For her. But it worked for her.
Just like Amber Rose.
Her
hair looks beautiful on her, but not everyone can wear the Amber Rose,
right.
You know, style or look. That doesn't work for everybody.
Who's that other light-skinned female that's married to one of the rappers who wears that buzz cut real short?
She's talking about Amber Rose.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Okay. Yeah. That looks good on her.
She
probably wouldn't even look good with long hair to me.
I don't think she would because I saw pictures of her with like a wig on, a long wig or something, and it did not look good at all. She looks so pretty with that short. I mean, there's some women, like you said, that's the whole thing. That's my thing about it, too, about the weave and any of that. It depends on how you wear it, how it looks on you. Everybody's different. Like I said, black women, we like variety. We like to do something different. It doesn't mean we're any less of a woman. I could have braids in my hair, and then I could have my own hair. In a couple of weeks. I mean, what's wrong with that? So one day you meet me, you wouldn't date me because that particular time I had braids in my hair, which had weaves in them. But the next time you saw me, or if you would have saw me in a couple of weeks, I had my own hair. So what would that mean?
It would turn me off,
but I wouldn't necessarily confront you about it. I'd be like, oh shit, that wasn't her hair. Damn.
Renee, you know good and well, Renee.
I'd be like, damn.
Sporting it right. If you sport it,
I'd be like, damn. I've had that happen when I was younger.
It ain't
and matter. When you finally catch it with no makeup on, you'd be like, oh snap.
Oh,
damn.
See, I wasn't completely wrong for pulling out
damn.
That piece of weave.
Damn, why was I so nice to you? Damn.
But some of
I went through all that to do this. I don't even want this.
Because this is what you say. You be like, ooh, damn. You want to move out my fucking way so I can see who that woman I was looking at? That's what you need to be saying.
Now, I'm talking about after you've taken the time to pursue them and you've had sex with them a number of times, and you catch them in the morning without the... Now, some women don't look that bad without the makeup, but there's a reason why there's the makeup on, and there's some that there's a big drop-off. And you can just go like, whoa, damn.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, there
they put on too much, and they don't have the right foundation.
The fuck
and they
was
just
I
cook,
doing?
They go like mud.
Shit.
Like,
yeah.
Make a cookie
yeah.
with all that junk on their face.
But you know what they got? But see, that's the thing, y'all, too, black or men, y'all need to know. They have now, they have some phenomenal makeup. So if
Tell
you see girls with that pancake-looking face or they have all of that stuff on, that's that cheap stuff. Because now they have some good makeup, and they have this stuff called a BB cream, and that's what I use because I do wear makeup. I don't wear, like, heavy makeup or anything like that. I just wear a little makeup. But, you know, I'm beautiful either way. But they have this stuff called they have this stuff called BB cream. And it's tinted, you know, to your skin color. But it's a moisturizer. So it's the makeup in the moisturizer. And you just put it on just like you would, you know, a lotion or something you would rub on your face. And that's what it is. You don't get, like, foundation and all that other kind of stuff on there.
Now they have an ass spray where you can spray it on and it looks like professional people. I don't wear makeup because I'm natural everything. I'm natural. I don't need makeup because if I put on makeup, I might leave my husband or he, somebody else might take me.
Oh, really?
Okay. You go, girl.
Oh, everybody makes BB cream. Aveeno, Maybelline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wonderful. So when you seeing some of these girls, you know, y'all still have to be careful because some of these girls, she can look so natural because it looks completely natural. But then again, too, that's a good thing because if she needed, like, more than that, if she needed more than a BB cream, then yeah. So if you see all of that powder and pancake stuff, you might kind of be like, I don't know.
But there's some, but Renee, some men look just like women. They can't tell the difference.
Ooh.
I mean, they made up so well.
No, she's right. She got
and all the hair.
Got makeup. They got, they got makeup.
You know what you're looking
they
at.
Got, they do have makeup wearing men.
I'm
oh,
saying
yeah,
everything.
Transsexual. I have a video, too. That's my other video. That one's done, though. I just haven't put it out. But that video, I'm talking to brothers about these transits, how to know, because there are foolproof ways. I have the foolproof ways to know exactly how you're not dealing with, to make sure you're not dealing with a man.
You actually made a video on that? You look at the Adam's apple and you look at the Adam's apple and you look at the hands. You look at
no.
the Adam's apple, the hands.
No, it's not the hands.
I will tell you.
Man, Adam's apple's real in that voice. That voice.
They have surgery. Yes, yes. There are certain things, but they have surgery to do something about the Adam's apple. They shave it down. So nowadays, and
Renee, another way is their eyelash. Unless they just do their eyelashes, I mean the eyebrow, it's just a
Nowadays they have where they're encouraging these kids when they're very young who say I don't feel like a boy or whatever, and the little boys, these young boys, they're starting them on these hormones, starting them on hormones very young. And they're giving them this other thing, I don't know the name of it, but it blocks the their male hormones from developing completely.
Yeah, that's some sick shit there.
But
some
are born with both parts, so they can't choose which is they don't have.
But I'm not talking about that.
That's probably one millionth of 1% are born both.
You know, have you ever really seen a hermaphrodite, whatever it is? I mean, people always talk about it, but you don't really know.
Right.
Only on Google Images.
Yeah, so exactly. It could be some bullshit in itself. I mean, but
somebody had a whole show of them. I forget who it was.
I don't really want to. But damn.
They're only ever 1% of the population at one time. They're only at the most. They're only ever 1%. So 99% of the population are better.
Oh, it's probably a small fraction of 1%.
They're always going to be male or female. So that's crap when people say that. But I'm talking about transsexuals. I'm talking about men who are, and it's on the women's side, too, because y'all going to see, when y'all see, it's women on there, and I mean, it's one, I would have been like, oh, he's fine. I would have been like, oh, he looks good. And it's a woman. So it's on both sides of the fence, but they're starting these young kids and these teenagers out on this stuff. So they don't, they're not getting to manhood like it used to be. They're not getting to manhood and then starting all of this treatment. They're starting it as little kids.
Yeah,
so then they look
money
and
from?
This is that much
little,
harder.
Little eunuchs. Do you
where
guys...
they get money from? Because that costs money.
Where what?
Where are they getting the money from to do this?
From their parents. Their parents are approving this.
Man.
Oh, this must be rich kids.
I hate to make a racial generalization, but that's from white folk shit.
It sounds
like
it. What? You said that?
Well, it's true.
I
man.
Can't
believe
no black parents like what?
I tell the truth, but it is.
Shit, that's some white folk shit. Do you guys remember? And I know you remember the Olympics. They had this Jamaican
mm-hmm.
runner, and she was a woman. Her name was Castor. And she
mm-hmm.
kicked everybody's ass in the race. I mean, she, like, beat them bad. And you couldn't tell what she was by looking at her. She was a real manly-looking woman. In fact, there's a
mm-hmm.
lot of manly-looking
women.
That
one was from South
women.
Africa. I remember that.
And
okay,
tested.
She's from South Africa. But they tested
right.
her, and I think it came back that she that they weren't sure. It came back inconclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's a woman.
That was a woman.
Yeah.
That was, she was born a woman.
But she had I'll look it up in a second, but I think some of it, she was a woman, but she was missing some things.
And she
I'm
was
not
male.
Sure what it was.
Hey, I'm not disputing what you're saying. My thing is, hey, look, you see them out here.
I had just looked that up because somebody, when I was doing the research for that video, and she is a woman, and I was trying to find out more because I think on one of the magazines were from where she's from in her country was something about she was pregnant or she may have been pregnant or something. So I don't know. They said it's a woman.
It's a woman. I want to ask you something here about the cost of all these weaves. My thing is this. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money being going ahead and paid out for all this stuff. So who benefits the most? I know we know about the Indians. But in America, who's benefiting the most? We know about the Koreans. But are there any other groups that's going ahead benefiting more than that, more than what black folks are doing?
The Koreans have the black hair business on lock.
The people that's putting it in.
Any and everybody who's not black is benefiting.
Yeah, the,
no.
The
those
Koreans
that are black
have
are benefiting
the black
too.
Hair business
did you know
on
how much,
lock.
Hold on.
No,
one
black people are not benefiting.
The sister that's putting it in, if she's charging $1,000 a head, she's making some money.
Let me deal with that real quick, man. As far as
the product,
she, hold
black
on, hold
care,
on.
Care products, go ahead.
Hold on, Beasley. Let me say this. The thing is I'm trying to deal with what May said. You know, she's charging $1,000 a head, but is she going ahead making the weave, okay, and she making the other products associated with going ahead putting the weave in?
Uh-huh.
And she not even, and then there's certain techniques. They're even teaching techniques. So I think the Koreans got a whole school. I know. What was it? Who did I come across? Who told me? These white Greek barbers who were getting a lot of U.S. servicemen. They had the barber school was geared up toward dealing with black customers. So I see the same thing with dealing with the Koreans. They got a whole education system to go ahead and teach you with black hair. So these people are making money off of us. How come we not doing that?
Well, what happened was this. There were quite a few black entrepreneurs that were in the black hair care business.
Yes, it is.
But there's not as many.
No, it's not as many. They're not as many.
And I'm talking about manufacturers. They were bought out by the Koreans, but the Koreans
mm-hmm.
paid a heavy penny. But the Koreans have the black hair care market on business on lock nationwide.
I'll just say up the natural hair. They have nothing on it.
Everybody's benefiting from black, from weave and all that, but the black community.
Well,
everybody else is benefiting.
Have you been to a hair show lately? I mean, have you ever been to a hair show?
But I'm talking about wealth, though. I'm not talking about the short-term
No, maid. My boy, right, sometimes he call in. You know, he didn't call in today, and I would have loved him to go ahead and say something. Him and another guy, they partners with on the barbershop, okay? And every time I went over to this barbershop, it was a little Korean dude who was coming in with a box of shit, hair products, black hair products.
Mm-hmm.
So blacks don't have that hair business on lock. No, they don't.
Well, they don't have it on lock, but
as Renee says, the installation process.
Uh-huh.
But as far as the manufacturing of the products and the wholesale level of the product,
right.
The Koreans have that on lock, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it easy. They paid pretty pennies for some of these businesses because they saw the future in it and the future and if there wasn't a demand, if there wasn't for a demand for black hair care products and women that wanted weave. And wanted, you know, Indian hair or Yaki hair from the Yaki animal, wherever that is in Mongolia, then there would be no market. So there's a demand there.
But not so much. The Carolina
is
all the
thing. This is a thing. Black people sell out.
I want to say this. We're going to go into overtime. I want everybody to take a quick break. And don't say nothing about my music selection because I'm retarded and I don't give a shit. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
Joey and Rickard. For the ladies. Oh, yeah, that. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Oh, I remember the first time when you touched me and your wine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. I remember when we first met and you tell me you're not give me bun. Tell the wine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. After she mun pass it look like you not really remember how fi touch me. You get so boring and you start chop asleep. Then you get lazy. Better next girl and go play your part. Yes, a next girl and go play your part. Me no like boring girl you fi talk. Don't make me tell you what fi do when you see Charlie Black. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust inna your head now, you're red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust inna your head now, you're red now. Come wind up your body for me, ninja. One wheel bike, me no pick up passenger. Me want see you seven more times, so no linger. Girl, you God bless man like me little finger. When me touch sweet, you fish out like higgler. This is not a laughing thing, me a no giggler. Me hand on your neck, well tight like gibbler. Touch me like you want time if you come in Libya.
Yeah,
just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust in your head now, you're red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me. Show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust inna your head now, you're red now. Hey girl, my love waiting for you. Dust off yourself and come make me give you. Make we go book a weekend in Rio. Make me change your eye like money a cambio. A next girl I'm gonna play your part. Yes, a next girl I'm gonna play your part. Me no like boring girl if you talk. Don't make me tell you what fi do when you see Charlie Black. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust inna your head now, you're red now. Just show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Girl, come show me how you can touch me. Make a bust inna your head now, you're red now.
I remember
the first time when you touch me and you whine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. I remember when we first met and you tell me you're not give me bun. Girl, whine and come up and go down. To the gong, to the gong, to the gong. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine. Want the wine, girl, me want the wine.
Oh.
Hello, greetings. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Okay. So, we have been talking about the issues with weave, I guess. And I want to open everybody's line. I don't want everybody not to chime in at one time. So I think, Sister Renee, you had the flow.
Yeah, we were talking about benefiting from weed and that whole business, multi-billion-dollar hair business. And I just feel like the black community benefits the least. We, you know, other races are, you know, making big time money off of it.
But hold on, if somebody needs to turn down their computer because I hear an echo.
I do too.
Can we please, because I pretty much open everybody's line.
Yeah, I kept hearing it, but I think that, you know, for what we spend, what we actually invest, we don't get back. We don't get on the other end. And that these, like, I can think right now there's a hair store. There's about three hair stores within 5 minutes or less from me. One of them is, like, 2 seconds from my house. And owned by Koreans. Now, I go in there, and I feel bad for going in there when I do, you know, because I wish that I could be supporting a black business. But they know me, they see me, and they still, you can still tell that they're walking around trying to come up. Do you need anything? You need some? No, I'm fine. Thank you. And
you
I'm
know, I hate that question. To a point, you know, sometimes, you know, you want some help. Okay, so if you walk into some of these shops, they don't want to give you no help. Oh, it's over there.
Right.
So, but for the most part, you know, almost everybody black, they suspect when they come in there. So that thing is yes, can I help you? You know, that's what they really mean is, nigga, I'm going to stay here right here close to you, make sure you don't put no shit in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to get on that, like, one of the ladies in there. She's older. She's kind of like a, not elderly, but kind of close to it, a Korean lady. And the other ones that work in there, like the man, he's so nice, and he never does that to me. You know, he always talks and has a conversation and everything. But this lady, she always tries to follow me around. And one day when I was getting my stuff for my quick weave, and I used to go up there because I would go there and buy the hair. And I was going and I was looking at, I mean, because they have tons, like they have aisles of different kind of hair that you can use for the quick weave. And so I was looking and I was going through and looking. And so she kept coming over there, peeking around the corner, peeking around the corner. And I said, now. And I'm a direct person. I said, ma'am, I don't need any help, okay? I'm looking over here. I know what I'm going to get, but I'm looking around at something. Is there a problem?
See, let me stop you, sister. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk into any, I don't give a damn what, if they fucking selling fleas. If I'm coming in to buy me please, and I see your ass follow me too much, I walk the fuck out the door.
Straight
I think
door
that mentality needs to be every
yes.
damn black person in this fucking country.
Yeah. Everywhere
you
go.
In your hand. Take your
that's
money
right.
and go some fucking where else. I do not
that's,
fuck with
that,
any of these damn people. I don't go to no restaurants. No, I'm a chef, so I don't fuck with a lot of restaurants anyway. It's rare you see me going to some of these places unless I didn't got a whole lot of people saying, oh, go and check it out. I'll go check out maybe a few of them. But if you treat me like shit coming in, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to spend my money. I'm going to go. And I think black folks got a hard time in being and going ahead and taking their money and walking out the damn door. Want to argue with people who own the shop. Don't argue with them. Take your money.
I've been doing it for years. I'm from Los Angeles. Los Angeles has the largest concentration of Koreans.
Hold on, Mr.
Outside,
let me tell you
outside
something
of
real
Korea.
Fast, so you don't get it misconstrued. I live in L.A. also. I live in third. I live on Vermont. Okay, I mean,
Vermont,
on Vermont. And near Wilshire. Okay? And
that's,
I lived there for
area.
A lot of years.
That's
and I know about that. That was like almost the heart of Korean town. Okay?
Well,
you got that one downtown, and you got that little area over there which they done beefed up. Am I correct?
They've taken over. They've taken over areas and renamed them Koreatown. The Koreans are deep there. But what I was gonna say was this. So I've been dealing with this and I'm familiar with this for years. I mean, they burned the Koreans out in the riots.
Rodney
and
King.
It didn't have that anything to do with Rodney King. It had to do with Latasha Harlins. But back to what Renee was saying, the Koreans don't just control the retail selling of black hair care products. They control the manufacturing. That's
right.
What I said. They have it on lock. And there
mm-hmm.
were black companies that did manufacture black hair care products. And
yeah,
they were bought
I'm telling
out.
You, they got a whole, look, they sent them back to Korea. They got schools. And the guy
paid,
was the guy was
paid for, they paid for it. They paid for it. There were quite a few. I mean, who knows what's going to work better for black folks' hair besides black folks? And they took over, and the Koreans bought these businesses out, one after the other. So not only they control the manufacturing, which is even larger than the retail. What they don't
mm-hmm.
control, what they don't control is the hair shops.
Johnson
mm-hmm.
and Johnson had the market cornered in the 60s.
Yeah,
70s.
And what was this other cat too? I read on it. Luster,
Afro-Sheen,
yeah,
all of those products were once black-owned companies.
Luster
right,
Care.
Right.
Right.
And,
those,
and it just shows
those.
You, see, when I see, and people go ahead and try to
and
get
that,
on me, and people try to get on me and talk shit to me, and I be like this, them people sold up, and yeah, they made money, but look at what cost? What cost? Just like when
have,
you go ahead and veer off a little bit, Bob Johnson, at what cost? To the black
right.
community, he didn't give a fuck about his blackness. He sold his shit to a white man. They sold it to another white man. Sold it, and it's
mm-hmm.
all fucked up now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
Bob
it's the
Johnson.
Same thing with the hair care products. I mean, it was a guy one day I was selling my buddy's junk in front of my house. Okay, he was like, oh, man, he got a bunch of stuff he gets from the dollar store. So I said, okay, fuck it. He's out in the yard. There was this other brother came by. His other brother came by in his Cadillac, and he had all the chemicals and shit in his trunk to make relaxers and all this other shit. And he was set up right there over there, right next to the house in the driveway. And he was bagging this shit up and putting this stuff in the bottles. And I said it couldn't be that damn hard to make a lot of these chemicals. So why are we not going ahead capitalizing on this shit?
Mm-hmm.
It's that we didn't get hooked. A lot of BS.
I wouldn't put that in my hair, but okay.
That I wouldn't put that in my
Somebody
hair.
Somebody would. Well, they have a new product. That, I mean, they have a new lady. It's called Miss Jessie's.
Hold on. He was selling, and some of the people knew him. So when they saw his car, because he had to ride around this, I was the way I was living. He knew the people in that little town,
mm-hmm.
and people saw his car. Shoot, they came over there and bought some of his stuff and bought some of my buddy's junk. And
it's the perm man. It's the perm man.
Perm
well, they
man.
Know how to make
I need
it.
To call him something else.
Right, like
go
ice cream man. They still know how to make, I mean, some people still know how to make that stuff. They used to make it a long time ago before they came out with the factories.
Yeah, he was an older brother. He was.
Mm-hmm.
His
brother
was
in
hold
stuff.
On. Johnson & Johnson, all those black hair care products that they used to advertise on Soul Train, that was owned mm-hmm. by the guy that owned Ebony Magazine, right?
Johnson,
right.
Yeah, it's the same person.
All right, I thought so. That's what made it. Yeah. They were all black-owned companies. The Koreans bought those companies out. They brought out all of the other companies that had started up, all the popular products, and it took them maybe 10, 15 years to do it, and they bought them all out.
Right.
See,
and they also had...
Bought them all out, but how they got started. On that show, they helped with the products they sell, you know, advertising. And see, this is something I see that I'm disturbed by a lot of people that go ahead and do these blog talk shows and other little and talk shoe and all this other stuff. Me, if you got a product, especially if you're local, come on my show and talk about it. I don't give a shit.
Right.
Come on my show and talk about it. Let's build up
also,
something.
Publishing rights to Ebony Magazine.
They sure
do.
I went to a meeting the other day, and this brother has a franchise, the Ebony World Magazine.
I'm talking about Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson had hair care products.
No, they were. He was a publisher.
I know. He had the hair care products. He had Jet and Ebony.
That's why he was a multi-millionaire.
They sold all of that off.
I think his daughter took over the publications, but the publications, along with all publications, because of the advent of the internet,
let me tell you something here. Here in Chicago, right? They had to build it on 9th and Michigan. Right? If you know where that is, you go ahead and say, "Damn, this building faced the lake, nice property."
Right.
But the other property just blocks away. They don't own none of that shit now. Because when you go ahead and you find out what the family was doing, they all got mixed up and not going ahead and dealing with trying to keep this business going. All of them want to go ahead and deal with fantasy bullshit stuff, travel around the goddamn globe and not deal with...
They want to live their life. I mean...
That ain't living your life. That's fucking up your life. Don't get it misconstrued.
Well, he was notoriously cheap, too.
Well, Chef Rod, you remember the guy Famous Amos that they wanted?
I know all about that cat. I'm trying to do something similar. And Famous Amos, glad you brought that up. Famous Amos, this dude, if you see the cookies now, I mean, they taste like shit now. But if you see the cookies now, his face not on it, but the name's still there. It was a group that go ahead and got him in. And I don't know what the hell was on this cat's mind, but a group from Singapore bought him out.
You know what he did? They wanted his recipe, and he wouldn't give it to them. So that means he had to let them keep his name. He has cookies, but it's not on the Famous Amos anymore. That's why those cookies you taste with Famous Amos on it don't taste like the ones. But he got cookies out there now, but he changed the name. He can't use his name.
He can't do too much of shit right now.
No. He has cookies out there, but they're not on the Famous Amos. It's a different
name. What's the name of his cookies? They're called Murray's or something.
But they're not Famous Amos anymore because he can't use his name.
Called what?
Murray. I think it's Murray's.
I don't remember the name, but I know he got another one. And Famous Amos cookie's still on the shelf.
Yeah, because they can't use his name. No, I'm not. He can't use his name anymore. That's why they own his name, but not his recipe.
It's the same thing Prince went through.
Because it wasn't his fault because he wouldn't sell it off. So they own his name, but they don't own his recipe because he wouldn't give it up. So that's why he changed the name of his cookie. All y'all said
the same thing. Madam C.J. Walker was the one who capitalized and became the first black rich female in America, pretty much on the planet. And she did that with hair care products. How did the Koreans go ahead and take over this shit? She had them locked. She taught other people the recipe, just like this cat who was in my driveway. I mean, I can't remember this dude's name. It was some silly ass shit.
He made it with some lactate. What he made. See, you can make your own soap. You can make anything that's out there. You can make it yourself. You just got to do it.
That's my thing. See, now listen. This is why I say
like
black folks are
more
tied up with materialism.
How they do it, Chef
Rob.
They have a plan.
They don't want to get out there and do the work.
Yeah.
And they see the shit on TV.
They have a plan. They have a plan, and they had capital, and they had vision. And they saw that there's black people in their hair, that they're particular about their hair. And
they
saw marketing. Capitalized on it.
But see, this is why I say that we black people, we sell out too easily. We sell out. Can I finish? We don't maintain any type of cultural dignity at all. Anything that quote unquote we have, we let it go for the right price. And even if it's not the right price, we let it go. And they were willing to sell all of that stuff that had all that history to it. That was, for the black community, that was well known by the black community. But because the dollars was talking, the money was talking, they was willing to let it go out the door. And with it, the whole black hair care business and the magazine industry and everything, was taken over by people who don't look a damn thing like us.
Renee, with all due respect to both of you, when you're in business, your objective is to turn a profit and to make money. It's not about restoring and keeping history.
Hold on, you can stay in business and things change.
Technology improves, things change. Your business.
Why is it that black folks are so quick to accept that shit then and not realizing what you're doing later on?
It's not just black folks. I see everybody do it. I got to deal with people like me. Every group builds a business up and sells it at a profit. Hold on.
Let me deal with Mr. Beasley real quick.
Not all businesses are going to be multi-generational and last. But Mr. Beasley,
who got the farming industry on lock? White folks in America. And most of these stores, they're done by white folks in America. Black people, because we had it harder at one time to go ahead and do some stuff with going ahead and having that farm and getting your produce to market.
There's no comparison. If you compare the head start that white folks have had compared to black folks here in America, it's amazing that anyone has been able to do really, really well and catch up.
But here's the bottom line: the playing field has never been even. I understand that, and don't misunderstand. I'm in business. I study business. When I first started going to college, and my thing was this: studying business and computers, not to be a chef. So the chef thing came later on. So I was looking at it like this. As you see, white folks do create a system to keep the money circulating amongst white folks. Black people don't have that kind of system. And you see so much stuff bombarding you and blinding you from creating that system because we're trying to be some shit that we're not, even with the hair industry. Even with motherfuckers going ahead sagging their pants, a man going ahead walking in my office with his goddamn ass showing, it's ridiculous to me. So it's a whole lot of nonsense that we're involved in instead of going ahead and involved and deal with people like ourselves. I heard in this conversation here that a lot of brothers are trying to go ahead and chase up behind the biracial sisters. Then you go ahead, it's the same thing with a lot of sisters going ahead chasing the biracial brothers. Why can't you just go ahead and settle for what you got? Think about who you are.
Biracial has always been around.
You making up some shit to go ahead and jump on. You need to stop going ahead and getting involved with that made up shit and deal with reality. We're not dealing with reality. We're trying to go ahead and tell me the black folks that are going to go ahead and participate in that. I love them, but I hate myself kind of attitude.
Right. Because black folks ain't good enough. Because when you black, that's not good enough. You don't have enough going for you. If you are biracial or something, that's more exotic. That's more better.
Okay.
That's better than being plain old
black.
All right.
You know what? Hold on a second.
A benefit.
Most people that are biracial, you can't tell.
Well, I'm not
talking
about.
Can you really tell that Obama's biracial?
I'm talking about biracial people that you can clearly tell. Black people who are fair skin.
You're not talking about biracial people.
Black
people
who are fair skin and their hair is the more quote unquote what was called good hair.
Well, all right, I'm not going to nitpick with you.
There's no such thing as good hair.
Can I interject something real quick in terms of what Rob was saying? The problem is that when blacks get in these positions, like the Johnson & Johnson family and what we're talking about, we don't set up institutions that allow the money to circulate so that even when we step out of it, it is still flowing in that regard. And what happens is, it's like all these businesses that blacks created and made huge amounts of money off of. What happens is, like the famous Amos, Johnson & Johnson, and any of the others, they sell it off. However, they're still going to get residuals based on the fact that they're selling it off. So they're still going to get paid. It's just no longer within their control.
Let me finish. I'm not saying that it happens
with all of them. But like if we use Johnson & Johnson as an example, they completely liquidated their assets, and what happened is that they were able to get a huge check. However, if whoever buys it decides to still use the name, then they got to keep getting paid unless they change the name to something entirely different. Now, here's something that I learned today that I didn't even know, that Spelman College was funded by the Rockefeller family and was named after Laura Spelman, who was Rockefeller's wife.
Wow. I didn't know it was named after her, but...
Yes.
Wow. See
that
what I mean? Wow. This stuff runs so deep.
And see, what happens is that we make the money, and then, like Beasley said, the bottom line, it's a profit. It's all about profit. So
right.
when that check comes in, now, if they keep the name, then you're going to get some residuals off of that. Now,
This is another facet to it, that why black businesses are not successful and why we don't build a legacy, like you said, we don't build an institution behind it to keep that wealth, to keep that money circulating in the black community. One of the biggest problems that we have as black people is we are very jealous. And we don't want to see another black
person. I'm not jealous
of
nobody. Renee, stop with generalizations.
Can I finish?
No,
nobody
it's a generalized, with the, it's a low-frequency generalization.
Can I finish, please? Can I finish what I was saying? Who said you was jealous? Like, who said that?
You make these generalizations all the time.
That?
I didn't say everybody.
I didn't say everybody. Anyway, us as black people, a lot of times, we can be jealous, and we would rather see somebody of another race come in our community and be successful than to support another black person and see them getting money and see them getting a new house or nicer cars or whatever. We look at that. And we find faults in it. We become jealous. We become envious. So that way, if you have other races of people coming in, owning businesses, running businesses in our community, that keeps us still all on the same level. And there's no other black people that's above us financially really running things in our community. We have other people coming in making money. And that way, everybody's still on the bottom together. The crabs in the barrel type of syndrome. We do have that bad in the black community. Not all of us. I'm not saying everybody. But it is an element to why our businesses cannot prosper.
The reason the business cannot prosper, Vinay, is because you do business with those people in your community. If you didn't do business in there, they wouldn't be there. You can find other places to be.
But that's
you can reach
my
across,
point.
With the internet and stuff, you can reach over in Africa and do business. But a whole lot of things that you try to get over here, you can get over there. And you don't even have to go through the community to get it of the people that doesn't look like you.
If you need something, you need some ice. You're not going to go on
ice.
The internet.
If I need some ice, I'll buy me an ice maker and have my own ice, and I won't have to go to the store and purchase it.
So, Mae, you bought your ice maker. Who made a profit off you buying your ice maker?
It came from
the same
place my refrigerator came from, because they don't make them in Africa.
Profit off you buying your refrigerator.
So I'm not going to buy ice. I already have an ice maker to make ice.
And if I sent it to the community,
they wouldn't have to go to that store.
And then the water. Hold on, Mae. Then to purify the water so you're going to have clean water. Who profited off that?
Probably not black people, but I tell you what, those ice makers are, it sure beats filling up them trays of ice cubes and going through all that. I don't ever run out of ice.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to make a point, a larger point.
You know what I think the Johnson family did wrong? Is that they kept the publishing business and they let go of the hair care business.
Hair care products
are thriving, and the publishing business, magazines and newspapers, are all on the decline everywhere.
A lot of them are about to go out of business, whether they're black, white, or purple owned.
So, I mean, unless
they can go ahead and flip it to go ahead and gift you, unless you can go ahead and flip it, your magazine, and go ahead and flip that to where it's just an app where you can get on your phone. And a lot of them ain't picked up on that concept. I'm working on that shit. That's retarded.
But Beasley, my question here to you, Beasley, is when they gave up the hair care products, how much did they get cash on the barrel, and how much was the residuals that they negotiated by keeping it Johnson and Johnson? See, that's
I don't know the details of it. I just know that they don't, they're not in hair care, and they've got failing magazines.
All magazines are failing. I got that.
So I don't know the details of the deal. They just, you know, you can make, when you, if you predict the future wrong, and that's what I always say, it's impossible, you know, it's impossible to predict the future with certainty, is that they made a guess, and they got rid of the hair care products and kept the magazines.
But you know what?
They should have got rid of the magazines and kept the hair care products.
But you know what? That's a billionaire family, which is why you never hear about it. That is a that black family there, Johnson and Johnson. That's a billionaire.
They got their money. They got their money.
Are we supposed to be mad at them because they did? It's just like Prince. He can't use his name anymore.
But John Johnson, from the people that I know in Chicago, and I've known people that have dealt with him, he's notoriously cheap, and he wasn't about helping people along.
That's why he's a billionaire.
They got their money and they
he's
gone.
Dead now.
Which is what always happens.
But yeah, you
I do think that black people that make it, that they do have a responsibility to try to help as many people as long as they could.
You don't
black
have
people.
To try. You either can or you can't. When you make
you try because
money,
you know what?
You
some
can
people you can't. Some people you can't help. Some people
you
aren't
can,
going
but
to
that's what I'm saying.
Right
you can make
for all the reasons
successful.
That you stated.
No. When you have that type of money like that, you can help people if you really want to. You can reach out
to young
people.
I'm talking about giving people, Renee. I'm talking about
hold
teaching
on.
Fish. So
hold
they
on.
Can
you can
themselves.
Reach out to young people who are doing well, who are trying to go to school, who maybe don't have enough scholarships. Things such as that. I'm not talking about just giving anybody anything. I'm talking about people who are really in a position to do something about it, to grow. And that's where it needs to be at, is with the young people. That's what we need to be doing so that one day they can own their own businesses and have corporations. We don't have any Fortune 500. We don't have so many things. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But when you are a black person, like I said, with them, when you get your money, then you're gone. You've transcended being black. You're no longer black, and you're gone.
Think about this. What did he do with his foundation? You know, you look at Bill Gates, and you know, he has a lot of money. And nowadays, companies branch out in that. You know, it's like long-range thinking.
Yeah,
you know, we have a few people in the business, and some of them make bad business decisions. But you recover, and you start something else again. Or you keep your money and do what you want to do with it. And that's kind of like what Beasley is saying. You know, so you kind of have to look at, you know, our advances. Now, the Johnsons, they were before. You think about
excuse
the
me.
Civil Rights Act, 1964.
Excuse me, sir.
And how far we've came.
Mace, what are you talking about? Auntie
I was wondering
Mace.
Who was talking about. I was asking who was talking.
I said, this is East Coast. How y'all doing?
Okay, go ahead. I was listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's just my input. You know, it's just forward thinking, and you know, you have to have some race consciousness.
What are they doing that was forward? What do you mean? Like you said, Johnson.
You know,
Johnson
I don't know. You know, I don't know. Like when we're talking about Johnson and Johnson, I know he had a foundation, but I don't know all what he did with his foundation. But it's just when you have the tools and you can put those structures together, you go beyond that. So you have to have you know, we have to be visionaries. Really,
right?
To get ahead of this game, because we're late to the game,
and that's what we haven't learned. That's why I was making a comment about building institutions. Guess who was one of the biggest funders of the Nation of Islam when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started it? Guess who was one of the
some white
biggest
supremacist
funders?
Group.
No,
Society.
It was the KKK.
Right.
It was the Ku Klux Klan. They gave him land in the South in the 40s.
They should, because they burned up everything else.
They gave, but see, my point is that when we don't establish institutions, then the circulation of the money is very hard to keep it circulating within a particular group, whatever that group is. When you watch TV,
I lived in Oklahoma, and I know this lady in Tulsa. Remember Black Wall Street?
Yes.
And she was telling me, she was my instructor, she was telling me that the whites came into their community and borrowed things from them. You know, they had first-class systems, but we were a closed community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we dealt with each other.
Well, because of segregation.
They didn't like that.
Because
at that time we wanted to connect with each other. We still had some type of cultural identity and some type of cultural responsibility to each other.
Didn't have a choice.
The main reason was segregation, Renee.
Yes.
Is that blacks weren't allowed to go in anywhere, so you put them together
But hold on. But he's still making a point there, and I agree with what Renee said. Not just segregation, but
well,
we still had a culture. He still had somewhat of a cultural identity, and we still identified with being black or an African at some point. We recognized that these were the people who were fucking against
us. Black people still identify with being black.
Yes, they still have it too. If they just put together and they use it.
No, they don't.
They don't know.
Black people are too assimilated now. A lot of people don't identify with being black.
Huh?
They're trying to do everything they can.
You'll get reminded that you're black eventually.
It depends on who you are. Maybe get where you are. Yeah.
I mean, you're assimilated. You get up and go to work with people. We're all assimilated. It's either you're going to assimilate some way, or you're going to sit somewhere in the park and sleep in the damn park and beat a drum all day long. I mean,
you got that right, Beasley.
You can maintain your identity and your pride as a black person and still participate in the structures that be in order to make a living for yourself
and for
your loved ones.
I just want to hear your voice.
I'm not saying that you can't do that, but there are levels to being assimilated, and a lot of us are beyond that level. Meaning that we don't have any idea of our original culture, of any type of thing that's attached to us from our past, from our ancestors.
That's not necessarily true.
We don't observe any of that.
I think about the things that my grandmother taught me every single day.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful.
And I think a lot of us do, too.
We don't put it in motion. We don't put it in motion anymore. We don't really put it in motion.
We are into following what the dominant society is doing, and that's what we do. Around people that keeps it in motion. Because some people are still around people that got it in motion.
I'm speaking on a broad term. I'm not saying each individual, whatever. People do different things. In my specific family, we do try to teach a connection to our ancestors and things that were passed down, generation from generation. But a lot of families don't do that, and a lot of people that I know, they don't do anything like that. They don't even know. They don't even have an idea about their grandparents or who was a slave and that type of stuff. A lot of people don't, and they don't care because, like I said, they don't have a cultural attachment or identity. What?
I think we know there are a lot of lost people. You know, as we progress through time and what's happening during those times.
And I just wanted to add this, that the most powerful groups and organizations in the United States and actually worldwide are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, because they don't have to answer to politicians. They don't have to answer to the law. Whenever you watch PBS...
Right.
Whenever you watch PBS, it's always the John D. Foundation,
right?
The Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie, the Mellon. These are 100-year-old institutions who spend millions and millions of dollars on think tanks, on all these types of mechanisms that are used within our social fabric, whether it be through advertising, whether it be through education, or through politics. And
social engineering.
This is the thing that us as black people have slept on.
Yes.
With the few of us that have had the opportunity to galvanize us as a group. You look at athletes today, just using them as an example. Look at the L.A. Clippers. Now, all of a sudden, Oprah want to buy them. Magic want to buy them. Now, let's stop and think for a minute.
You mentioned two of the most assimilated Negroes there are.
And you know why they can't
participate in the communities that they came out of? Because it's a red land where they can't do what they want to do with the Chamber of Commerce. Because if the Chamber of Commerce let them go into those communities, they would be much better off. Because I know some pro players that can't even go build a bowling alley from where they went to school.
They don't know the right
people.
Will not let them put it there.
They don't know the right people.
They know the right people.
They can't.
They won't give them the land to do it.
You know, the past 30 years, as black people, we've had a huge disconnect. And part of the disconnect will you let me finish before you say what?
Oh, you want me to let you finish? Okay.
I always let you finish. I put myself
no,
on
you. No, you don't. But
okay, Renee.
Renee, you know, you talk, but you don't listen. Because I say things and you discount them. But let me teach you something. Okay?
That's mighty funny. I'm coming from
right. I know you're right and I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yep. I'm glad you know.
All right, let me not get into this. First you had the scourge of heroin. Okay? Then you had the scourge of the crack. Crack destroyed families. Destroyed women, destroyed men, and we're still suffering from that. And then you had the most powerful cultural force, hip-hop. You've had it corrupted and taken over and the promotion of a gangster culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got people that are 25 and under that only know a gangster music and a gangster mentality. Now, there's always been gangsters, but it hasn't been the majority of the population. These kids are grown up as gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge problem. And that's something that makes all the things that we're talking about, it puts all of that further away. A think tank? That's all.
I can feel that. When you're delving in things that are so low, it's kind of hard to put yourself in a position to where you're changing minds on a mass scale, and you have that type of influence. So I can see where it's going with that. And he's right. When we allow ourselves to just be denigrated totally, mm-hmm. it's hard to project. You know, we're talking about, when I was talking about NGOs, these are people who are thinking hundreds of years in advance.
Right.
The average person is thinking from day to day.
Hello?
You got people in this world who are trained up.
Somebody got a train going on behind them.
the average person is just trying to get from day to day to day. Imagine the luxury of being able to plan 50 to 100 years in advance.
Yeah.
And know it's going to happen.
Well, and that's the thing, when they can keep you living day to day to day, you know.
Right.
You don't have to. They know that there will never be that time where you can plan and really have the time to do anything, because you're trying to get scrounge up what you can do to make it, like you said, through today to try to get to tomorrow.
Right.
And unfortunately, to
add along with that, you have
oh,
to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add to what you said. You have to start at a point. You know, with what H2O said is they're so far ahead, but we have to look at where we are now. And to me, you have to pick a point. You know, there are a lot of people that are just going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start working for 10 cents an hour.
The popular culture is applauding coonery and clowns.
Exactly. Mr. Beasley, that's what I've been saying.
It's one thing to have a little of it, okay?
Hold on a minute.
That's the only message I see.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this. My thing is this. We on a boat that's sinking fast, and people don't realize that we taking on water. And I feel like this. If I throw your ass a lifeline and you ain't reaching for it, fuck you. Get out the way and let me save somebody else. Don't keep going ahead and putting opposition up or some kind of barrier up to go ahead so I get behind somebody else. Hey, if you don't agree with my message, don't fucking attack me. Go build your own shit. Shut the fuck up. It bothers me. And that's the biggest problem we got. We got too many people trying to spend time and trying to save motherfuckers. Or want to go ahead and keep pounding the message. Fuck that. People drowning and dying. I live in Chicago. Do I need to save fucking more? This is crazy.
Right. It's the same. Whatever goes on in Chicago goes on everything.
Hey, Chef Rob, what about that?
But I'm dealing with, hold on, let me deal with Maze real quick. Maze, but I'm in Chicago.
What?
Okay, no, hold on. I'm dealing with it in Chicago. How are you dealing with it in your city, Maze?
How am I dealing with it in my city?
How are you dealing with the problem
the
with young people
you
killing themselves, the lack of employment, the lack of housing? Go ahead, go nowhere. We're getting pulled over and things of that nature. I can't go ahead and be in every city. I got to deal with right here where I'm living.
No, I didn't say that.
Hold on. Let me make this point, and I'm
going
to keep quiet. I'm starting to do something. I got involved with some things 5 years ago. I started my own nonprofit foundation. Just today I was told some good news. I'm trying to go ahead and put some people to work by going ahead and showing them how to take it from the ground and feed yourself with it, close yourself with it, and make a profit with it, go into business with it. Are you doing something similar to that? Please don't tell me that, hey, those things are going on in every city. I know this.
Yeah.
I'm aware of this. That is not helping the cause by going ahead and saying that. You go ahead and help the cause by telling me.
It goes on in every city, but it's not going on in the middle of Chicago.
I'm putting people to work. Some people in the house, got some people off the street, and help get people off drugs. I got a sister that's a heroin addict, man. You know how hard that is to deal with that? When I got to deal with her.
Oh, yes, I do know how hard it is to deal with that.
With her friends. Their problems in the neighborhood. Tell me what you're doing. Don't go ahead and throw that line out there because it is not.
You're not throwing a line at me that you are hooked that I can't catch to help you with. I have had families that's been in the same place you say your sister is. Been
that
up with
still
them all
did not deal with what I
and
just
guess
said.
What? They clear. They clean the
day. I'm trying to get you to see something, Maze. When you say that kind of stuff, there's people dying all over the place. Are you going? How are you trying
that.
To stop it on your street?
No.
Are
you
trying
you
to stop
that.
It on
no,
the
no,
street?
No,
you know what?
Calm
you said
down.
Something
let me
real strong. You had something real strong.
Let me.
Because when you have a relative on drugs, you can't do shit for them to help them stop doing drugs.
You see why I said that? You see
why
I said when you
can do that? I know that because I'm going through that now. And there's nothing
point.
I
you're
can
hear
do.
Me out. You're going to have to hear me. That's why I said we're on a ship that's sinking and taking in water. I didn't been in that situation. I didn't been on a damn plane that was about to hit the fucking ground. You got to go ahead and try to save those who want to be saved. And I'm going to tell you right now,
exactly.
And everybody
that's
knows.
That's
fuck
what
my sister's talking about. I don't deal with that. And I go ahead, and it's hard for me to do that. That's my blood. But it's hard for me to go ahead and do that for her, so I have to go ahead and make it easier for me to do it to the next motherfucker who's trying to go ahead and take my attention and take my money for some bullshit.
Well, what I'm saying, Chef Rob, your sister is going through that. Your sister's going to have to stop that on her own. You can't help her. You can't stop her from doing
that's
it.
That's what
you
said.
You have to stop on her own to clear.
Maze, hold on. Didn't I just say that? I just said that. I throw you a lifeline. You don't reach for it. You don't want it. I'm going to leave your ass alone. Get out the goddamn way so I can save the next
one. When you leave it alone, that's when they reach for the lifeline.
I don't want to fuck with her, Maze. She's been like that too long. Next, anybody else got something to say?
So what I'm saying is you don't want to get to the digging, to the real deal. I was at the Iran-Contra hearing when something should have been about it, but I didn't see too many of us in the hearing. That's the problem. When they brought it in there and the hearings went along, everybody went to bed and went to sleep.
Here's something else, man.
That's what's wrong
with
your community.
We were just discussing Johnson & Johnson, what they
No. You don't
want to
get
that was pretty much how a lot of us I was getting our news. Jet Magazine was actually getting you the news, but it was getting it 2 weeks late. There is no media apparatus right now for black folks, Maze. Don't you hear that?
Media. Is that like you say you live in Chicago?
This is the media apparatus now.
Every black, every news station, every news.
See, you're not listening. I'm trying to tell you
Maze.
Something.
Maze, hold on. I'm not going to do that with you. Maze, let me tell you
again. I'm telling you, I done been where you're trying to go.
You don't know where I'm trying to go.
You're not listening. You're getting mad. That's what part of the problem is. You get hot and all under the collar, and you're not listening.
I see, Maze.
You're not listening.
Calm down.
You can't hear.
I'm listening to you, Maze. I'm going to give you a few seconds. You go ahead.
I dealt with two drug addicts. I dealt with two. Now they clean. Been clean for 15 years, both of them. I still reach back and I talk to them, but they made something of themselves. But people didn't think that they were going nowhere.
But what is that supposed to mean?
Crack addicts or heroin addicts?
So both.
Crack addicts eventually stop. Heroin addicts go to the death.
Well, no, they don't.
Thank you, brother.
They don't go to the death.
I'm trying to get
you.
They go to the death.
You want me to call him? You want to talk to him and tell you what death he is?
I don't want to fuck with him at all. That's a waste of my damn time. I got paperwork to go ahead and finish up.
So
I got to go ahead and get my
shit
together. I'm going to go ahead and set up a new bank account to go ahead and help people this summer.
What I'm saying, the problem is that people get...
Hold on, what I'm trying to tell you is me trying to go ahead and run out to and talk to another heroin addict who's going to go ahead and pull the bullshit, have me riding around, taking him here, there, and there, getting this methadone and all the other shit, and go ahead and sliding in some morphine pills.
That's not what I'm saying, Chef Rob.
Hello, man.
I'd rather help the ones in my family that are in college or trying to go to college. My goddaughter just graduated from law school. She'll get a check before any of these junkies do.
Well, you can do
both. I'm not going to spend no more motherfucking time on them goddamn people here. Hey, I go ahead, I'm only going to tell you once. I got some help for you. If you don't jump on it, I'm going to give you a little leeway. I'll probably give you a month. Because you done been on the shit for a long fucking time. It's for you to get yourself off of it. I'm not trying
That's
to pull you off
saying.
Of it. My thing is this. Your old decrepit ass I'm going to stop fucking with because I need to deal with the newborns, the babies, and some of the teenagers. For you other motherfuckers out here, fuck you.
See, that's what I'm saying, Chef Rob. When it comes to having a conversation, you always just, like, you get upset with the person that's talking to you.
But
I can feel your pain that you're going through.
I can feel his pain. I tried to be nice and calm about it, but you wouldn't listen to me. I'm going to say it again. This is my mission, and that's what I'm dealing with.
Yes, I'm saying you got another mission to do. But I'm saying...
See that? You
want to
keep talking.
Maine, just let's drop it. Let's stop because...
Okay,
you were repeating what he had already said. He said
I'm not repeating what he said. See, Renee, you're not listening either. That's the problem.
I am listening.
I'm telling him I've been there. And eventually, there's a lot of hurting and it's a lot of pain.
Right.
It's a lot of pain.
And then
it'll
come to a point where he won't have to deal with it anymore. He's finding another lease to go. He let it go.
Okay. All right. And I'm not listening. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So as I was saying, when you hear people saying, like, they made it and they don't want to look back and get somebody else, let them people that made it make it and be there. Make what you got to make and don't be jealous of what somebody else got and don't care what somebody else got and stop talking about what they got. Make your own way and your own way.
Hold on, man.
Don't worry about what other people got.
You just took this conversation to something really out there.
No, it's not that. What I'm saying is people hate people because they made it and then look back.
I said that earlier.
That's what I'm saying. I don't hate people that made it and then look back.
Oh, gosh.
That's not what set Chef Rob off.
Huh?
What set Chef Rob up is comparing what's going on in Chicago compared to the other cities. Chicago's worse than Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Chicago's worse than anywhere right now.
I lived in Los Angeles, and I know how fucked up it is. I lived in San Diego. I know how messed up it is. I've been to Oakland. I lived in Sacramento. I know the little pockets in there because they had good weed. I know the little pockets in there where they are.
Oakland is a baby Chicago right now.
Say it again?
I live in
Oakland.
They're killing people in Ohio.
Mr. Beasley, he said something about Chicago. What were you saying?
Oakland is very similar to Chicago right now.
As far as
the pathology and the murder rate.
And it was like that a few years ago, about 15 years ago when I used to go here and be there.
Right.
And I know that. And it seems like but every city, and I'm trying to show Maze, I agree with what you're saying. Every city got some bullshit, some problems going on. So I'm trying to tackle a problem here in Chicago because it's always in the news. And it's in the news for a certain reason. And a lot of the shit, they got people thinking all around the planet to go ahead and get some news from Chicago. I got some people send me some emails from Africa, and they're like, man, they're just shooting all over the place. And, nigga, I walk outside, and I don't see all that shit. But you got to go to certain areas.
They got
to go to certain areas, and it's done. This is by design. It's a plan. They already had the plan. They already designed it. They're just going ahead and making the plan that much better and that much more efficient. They keep making you look like fools and make you go ahead and to go ahead and have them justify doing what they're doing.
Well, Chef,
and you know what? I was having a conversation
that's going on
with Brother Dawah's chest.
Is it all the people that's doing it? Or do you ever see the bullet that go off sometimes?
So
you're looking at all of this in Chicago. Is it always the people that's doing it? Or sometimes is it the cops that's doing it, and it looks like the people are doing it?
No, Chicago's different. Chicago is a city with long term.
Wait, hold on, Mr. Chicago, B. Let me speak on Chicago. Let me ask you a question. You know, it's a combination of all of that. But honestly,
thanks.
In my opinion, a lot of it is dealing with your so-called law enforcement. I think it was sometime last year, there was a cop riding around shooting motherfuckers. He actually shot, I think it was last year. Another cop, he was shooting, ran around, pulling up alongside of people, calling them names and shooting at them. And the young man, a couple of young men that was working in my restaurant, right, who used to tell me a lot of little stuff. See, I ain't had to encounter a lot of that stuff, I guess because I had a lot of family and they knew people. But these two young men said, hey, look, the police pulled over the side and said, hey, look, yeah, y'all supposed to be at a truce with so-and-so and such and such. So, but they was like, hey, look, but they're coming back. They're going to start gunning for you. So here, why don't you take this pistol and defend yourself? So you need to go ahead and look at some, talk to some of these young people out here. Don't be afraid to. You can pull some of these young cats aside, some of these young women, talk to them. They be saying some crazy ass shit. But you can hear that message in their voice that, hey, look, what you see in the news just ain't reality.
And they're looking at some of this stuff, man. They just as confused as the people that live there. The ones that live there looking like, it's like we just shooting up each other. But it's all the time is it us. But I don't live in Chicago, so why am I thinking like that?
That's why I'm trying to tell you. You don't live here.
This
is my point here, Maze. Living here.
My question.
Hold on. Living here, and next week I got to go ahead and spend some time in a couple of them areas that's got a lot of gunfire. That's got a lot of problems. Inglewood. I got to go spend time in Inglewood. Roseland. Okay. Then I got to go and spend some time here on the west side of Chicago, in the Austin District, Lawndale. So these areas got problems. Okay. But when I go through there, I was just there the other day. On the west side of Chicago, places they keep saying there's a lot of shooting. Why nobody shooting on that street? See, because the media goes ahead and glorifies this, and they go ahead and put this stuff out here. It's to scare a lot of white folks and a lot of other individuals. But when they get those white folks scared, they come back with their political game, bring in, like the mayor here in Chicago wants to go ahead and bring in more police. I never understood that shit even when I was wearing a fucking uniform. How in the hell can more bullets go ahead and keep the problems down when you're trying to provide books and beans? That shit don't make no sense to me, and it don't make no sense now. It's ridiculous. And they're only doing that to bring in more cops to lock up more individuals so they can profit off from throwing them into jails.
Thank you.
Fucker here in Chicago had closed down about, I think, like 50, almost 60 schools here. 50 schools, only to turn them over to some private individuals. Now, what they going to educate these kids on? What they going to teach them? You ain't teaching them about themselves. You're going to teach them about all the other bullshit to keep them going here and being house niggas and slaves.
It's
I got a problem
capitalism.
With this shit.
Yeah.
I went through the system. If my family didn't go ahead and do what they did for me, plus me joining the service and getting the fuck out of here, I would have been one of these fucking stupid motherfuckers running around here loving what's going on and being naive. There's a plan. You need to get up off your ass and recognize that there's a fucking plan and try to do something about it. Because if it ain't affecting you, it's going to affect somebody next to you. Eventually, it's going to go ahead and bleed to your ass. You need to pay attention.
But me and someone were having a conversation about this, about Chicago specifically, and we were talking about, you know, how black men, or why couldn't people in the community, like the black men and the black women in the community in Chicago, or any community that's bad, but go out there and reach out to the kids and put together programs in their own community to try to take their own neighborhoods back and help their own kids. But like he was saying, he was like, they needed to go out there and be getting in some of these young boys' butts. They need to get in their butts. They need to talk to them, whatever, shake them up, whatever they need to do, because some of them, that's how you need to get through to them to get their mind open. Wait a minute. Let me finish. Let me finish, please.
They got guns.
Before
they got machine guns, Renee.
Before you start, let me finish. You just want to try to jump on something and try
to
you're listening for any little thing I can say. You listening for any little thing I say?
No, I'm not.
But
I just
Anyway, and we were talking about. Of course, we know they have guns, and we weren't talking in reference to that. We were just saying with some of these young kids. Anyway, the point was that if the police really wanted this stopped, they could have had this stuff stopped. Don't think they don't have the ability and the power to have stopped all of this gang stuff that's going on, to have shut this stuff down with the drugs and all that. We don't have no planes. We don't have any boats. We don't have any tunnels going through to Mexico that's getting all of this stuff in here. We're not in control of any of that. So a lot
exactly.
of this stuff is about the drugs. Excuse me?
I said exactly. That's been my point. I've been trying to point that out.
Oh, I thought you was Beasley. Okay.
You so busy waiting for Beasley, and he ain't even talking.
But, you know, he's the one that always jump in or whatever. But
well,
anyway.
He knows you're young, so. But.
Hey, Renee, when you say go out there and daddy talk them kids out there, them young people out there, you asking to get shot. Them kids
but, No, not necessarily.
No,
what did I say earlier?
No,
Beasley?
Not necessarily. Like Seth said,
some
of them
man,
kids
it's how
talk.
You approach people, Beasley. You know that.
Exactly.
You know for a fact.
But,
you ain't no damn
but
kid.
Renee. I have
one. You can't go ahead and talk to them and make
you get through to them and they're going to listen to you. Then maybe you could talk some sense into them. But if they're not going to
respond. I'm working on it, Beasley. I'm working on it. But I'm just one guy. And I got a lot of opposition. If you knew the opposition I had, these motherfuckers, I'm ready to go ahead and go to war with some of these fools out here who's supposed to be standing up and trying to do things for the community. These motherfuckers ain't doing nothing but profiting. I know cats, man, that's going ahead bringing down literally millions, thousands of dollars. And ain't doing shit. They go ahead and they say, well, because one of the guys
that's
is working with the same accountant I'm working. And this cat is going ahead and talking about the problem and go ahead and got my accountant to go ahead and set him up stuff. And my accountant said, this nigga just ain't shit. And she almost 90 years old.
But I know what he's doing.
I know his game. I seen him. He got pictures with the mayor. Jesse Jackson with a whole lot of other people. He's just profiting. Just like Jesse Jackson. They talk about the problem, but they get the money, put it toward the problem.
The problem is they don't want it to stop because they can't make money. Chicago. That's what it is.
Jesse Jackson and Operation Push is based in Chicago.
It's some bullshit,
Blue
too.
Farrakhan is based out of Chicago. And I'm
some
not knocking
bullshit.
There have been programs. There were huge programs in the 60s that gave money to these different groups. What were the what were the vice lords? The nonviolent force. What were they called? The other vice lords. Not Jeff Fort.
Blackstone Rangers.
The conservative vice lords that were actually.
I think it was the Peacestone Rangers. I can't remember.
Well, a lot of those street gangs had sophisticated sides. Or they had a political side, and they got money, and it didn't work out.
They got money and infiltrators, okay?
Right.
And that's been the biggest problem. They've been spied on from day one. Look here, I ain't got much time left, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, can I say one thing before you hang up? I don't understand now. They over in Chicago supposed to be shooting each other up, but they've been passing laws where people can carry weapons around, but not in Chicago.
See how that shit don't make sense, man? You see what I'm talking
and
about?
And the NRA today is fighting against gun safety. They got some kind of device where the gun won't go off. Do you know they're fighting it?
They created it. Yeah.
They created new laws during the 60s after the Black Panthers, who were armed and were defending their own community and policing the police. There was a rush of laws that outlawed firing a gun and owning a gun within city limits.
In New York City, it's a mandatory minimum three-year sentence.
Mandatory.
All right, people, we only got 1 minute left. It's been great. You know, let's try to do this tomorrow. I appreciate everybody for coming out. And here, I want everybody. I should have put my Facebook page there because I'm still having problems with my credit card, so I can't get my website up. But the International African American Foundation is on Facebook. Check us out and see what we're trying to do. We're trying to go ahead and educate people about gardening, urban farming, agriculture, and everything dealing with